Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, just before we get the episode going, just a light disclaimer that this review roundtable of The Rise of Skywalker is pretty mixed in reaction and opinion. So I just don't want to get in the way of anyone's experience of enjoying the film. So if you're up for a mixed reaction with lots of nuance and points made either way, give this a listen. But if you just want to enjoy the ride and just have just enjoy a film that you love, this might not be the review to listen to right now. We're going to be doing heaps more reactions to this film, of course. So, you know, the vibes will go up and down as we go. But I just wanted to get that out there. And the episode's also available in full video to watch on YouTube.com. Link is in that show notes. Enjoy. Lots of fun.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to Steel Wars. I'm comedian Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars. And each week we talk to someone of interest about it. But it's a movie week, so we're talking all the time to several people. It is a day, 2 days later, and we are here to have a bit of a chat with some old mates about The Rise of Skywalker. In studio with us, we have got the producer, Rashad.
So it is.
All the way in Alabama, we have got the very festive-looking Hawes Burkhart.
Hey, everybody.
Hawes.
Yes, sir.
You sound like someone that didn't like the film.
Oh, I'm very tired.
Oh, buddy. I know that vibe. In New York, fresh off the Cats screening, so feeling very jovial, it's Emily Lind.
Hello.
And, of course, from Castle Grayskull, we have got Robbo.
Isn't it Snake Mountain, Steel?
It is Snake Mountain.
No, but you've broken in there. That's why he looks so happy. I have to explain for everyone just listening to the podcast on the YouTube. Robbo has he normally has naked Skeletor as his picture instead of using his face like a normal person, but now he's got an animated GIF of Skeletor talking. So it's quite good. Let's get things underway. It's been a like any Star Wars film. There's a mixed reaction, and I think there's a mixed reaction on this panel. Hawes, let's just go with your score out of 10 and your favorite moment of the film.
My score out of 10 is probably a 7 or a 7.5. For some reason in my head, 7 feels a little low, 8 feels a little high, I don't know. Favorite part of the movie... I think it probably was when Ben and Rey are doing their respective fights in like the Sith Temple area, when he's fighting the Knights of Ren and she's fighting those guard guys.
Yeah, I was quite taken with how much I liked Ben Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Like his like very pro wrestling face turn. Like, yeah, I didn't. I guess, like, he sort of changed in character, which, like that like little Han Solo look he gave of just like,
oh yeah, when he had the saber,
like that was just, my knees went weak.
Well, when he's like first gets there and he's running around shooting that stormtrooper blaster, like I got some Han Solo vibes from that too.
360, no scope, like not even looking.
That was a sweet little just shot. Emily, what's your score out of 10 and fave moment?
3.5.
You knew that was coming.
Come on, Steele.
I didn't know you were going to go that low.
Yeah, neither did I. But I've been stewing.
Well, you did just come back from Cats.
Oh, man, so. Cats was great.
What do you give Cats?
Look, Cats is like maybe the most incompetent move I've ever made, but I've never had more fun watching a movie.
Okay. You made it?
Whoa. Burying the lead.
Ever made.
Oh, but, I thought you said I've... Okay, sorry.
No, I wish I had made Cats. No, favorite moment, I really... I like riding horses on Star Destroyer, and I really like anything with Babu Frick.
Ah, yeah, Jackie loved Babu Frick. He reminded us of a little Harry with his little talking. Robbo, I am fascinated with in my head while I was watching this, and people have been DMing me, it's just like, oh, Robbo is not going to like this film. But I've heard vibes that you've had a positive feedback. What's your score and your fave moment?
Okay, so are we scoring on actual quality or are we scoring on enjoyment?
Can I just say what you thought of the movie?
I was asked to score.
Well, it's however you want to score it, buddy.
Okay.
As a Star Wars film.
Yeah. Okay, so as a Star Wars film, in terms of like quality, I felt like it was a 5, and it was like, it was not their best work, but in terms of like, I was surprised by how much I liked it. So like, in terms of like my, like the happiness I felt when I was leaving the theater, I'd say it was like, it was weird. It was like a 7 or 8. I'd say closer to an 8 for sure. Because like, I was just like, I just this weird feeling because I was confused pretty much the entire 2.5 hours. No idea what was going on. I didn't know who was doing what, why, what they wanted, what they didn't want. I didn't know any of that. I couldn't understand what was going on. And yet it was like at the end, I was like, yeah, that seems about right. You know, it was a weird feel. It was I've only seen it once. So I'm going to see it again tomorrow night. And I'm wondering if this is going to be a reverse Last Jedi steal, because when I came out of The Last Jedi the first time, I felt like I had enjoyed almost every minute of that movie, and I came out thinking, do I hate this movie? It was a weird feeling. And then the second time I saw it, I was like, oh no, I love this. So what will happen next? I don't know.
Yeah, what about Rashad?
You know, my initial reaction that we recorded, mm-hmm. I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to say 7 out of 10. I was kind of waffling at the when we first saw it, but I saw it again last night, sort of with you, which we can get to. I had a lot more fun watching it the second time, knowing what was going to transpire. And I mentioned this to you earlier, too. It was an easier watch knowing which plot threads to follow and which ones you could kind of ignore, which is not a good thing to say about a movie that it has plot threads you could ignore.
No.
But it was still really fun. It's a mess. It's flawed. But it's fun. And I would say for my favorite scene, either the entire Death Star fight or the actual finale.
The Death Star fight?
Yeah. I really like that scene a lot.
Which movie did you watch?
Yeah.
Right. They're on the...
They're in the ruins of the Death Star.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Jeez. Yeah.
Like, are we actually talking about Cats tonight? Yeah. Did I miss something?
I told you. I saw Spies in Disguise.
But yeah, probably the very, very last scene or the Death Star fight. Those are probably up there.
Yeah. Sorry. On the one we did with Sal and Amy directly after, I got it as a 7. I've seen the movie 1.5 times, everyone.
Okay. Are you going to explain that, or are you going to wait for us to ask for you to explain it?
Yeah, well, that's sort of how podcasting works. But good pickup of the ball there. Good improv.
Could just keep going like Rise of Skywalker does.
And
I had food poisoning and I had to leave.
Oof.
It was the scene. Remember when Homer has the roll and he can't give it up?
Yeah. Oh, you call that a roll in Australia?
You mean
the giant hoagie?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, I can't stay mad at you. That was me like green, cold and shivering. And then halfway through it, I'm just like, I'm going to hate this film forever if I stay and experience it like this. So I went home to bed and Jackie was paranoid because she stayed. I said, I'm just going. And she was like, thought I must have been dying because I walked out of a Star Wars film halfway. But I just had to make a decision. I was like, this is going to tarnish me if I don't get out of here. And I was so cold. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm 7. I feel like I should go down to 6.5.
Yeah. I don't believe in half points.
My favorite bit, though, is definitely the Rey Skywalker. I actually, in the cinema, was like, yes, when she said it, because they sort of paused and sort of set it up. Interestingly enough, you told me this story about the thing, about the screening with the Reylos.
Oh, yeah. I had Alex from Black Series Rebels sent me a video. Apparently, there was a screening with a big group of Reylos, and somebody was recording, like, kind of the reaction to the Rey Skywalker scene.
Illegal bootlegging.
Yeah. And everybody in the crowd knew what was coming, and there's just, like, you could hear people, like, it was a cat screening, like, yelling at the screen, like, no, 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 don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then she, you know, says the line, Skywalker, and everybody just booed and groaned.
Wait,
and people stood up. Why? In the theater.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Why?
They don't like. I don't understand. I don't understand why that was so.
It's
bad
not.
For them.
It's not like she's becoming a literal blood member of the Skywalker family, and it's also not like the character they wanted her to get married to and have kids with isn't already dead. It's too late.
Oh, this I didn't tell you. So there was a this woman was sitting behind us last night.
How dare she?
And this woman was sitting behind us, and during the kiss, she lost her damn mind, like screaming like she was a teenager in the 60s at a Beatles concert, like freaking out. And then the roller coaster of pure joy to, Ben's dead was like horror in her voice. It was hysterical.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, you know, there's a contingent of the Reylos. I never like to group everyone as one consciousness. Just like furious about him dying. But I just could never see another way to get out. Like, I was, like, to be honest, shocked about the kiss. Like, I was pro-kiss, and I actually, when it happened, and his look afterwards, his happy look, like, I was just like, kiss all the way. Like, I loved his, like, you know, it was almost an episode of the Wonder Years, like, broke out, and he got his Winnie Cooper. But
it's something I enjoyed, but it was short-lived.
What did you guys think of the kiss?
Pause.
I don't know that it was like my least favorite moment or my favorite moment. It didn't have any effect on me, really, except I was like, oh, whoa. Because I guess I didn't see it coming. And a lady in the theater, when it happened in our screening, went, that shit is gross. Real loud.
Wow. And so did you shush Jesse straight away or no?
No. I think Jesse was into that part. Okay. I'm not quite sure.
At our...
But she got a standee of Adam Driver today? So, yeah, he might be.
Someone's going to be shaving his beard soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a fat Adam Driver all of a sudden. That's going to be real appealing.
They should do a Sandy of him topless. That topless one. I reckon that would really get some bunts in the door for old Lucasfilm.
Yeah, I don't need that at my house, though.
What if it's in my brain forever, so yeah. You might as well put it in my house.
It's living up here rent-free, Steel.
This is so much to sort of, like, tackle. I guess that like, maybe we'll talk about our low point, and then that'll sort of give us some sort of grounding. But what was your least favorite part, Hawes?
Easily my least favorite part, and I literally turned to Jesse during this part and I go, oh, that was pretty cheesy, is so they're on the ocean moon and they pull out the dagger, and the dagger has a device that's literally an arrow that goes, it's right here. Like, it's so specific, built for one purpose, to be like, you would have to be standing in that exact spot for it to work that way, too, right?
Yeah.
For it to line up right?
Yeah, because it was, like, kind of shaped like the wreckage.
All right.
That you had to line up.
Yes.
So I am fascinated with this dagger because it was used, I don't know, 15 years ago, 14 years ago to stab Ray's parents. And, but it was also, like, I just don't understand how this guy had a dagger that he stabbed the parents with that also had a map to find a GPS if you
in
were...
In wreckage that hasn't changed in 15 years in a wildly churning ocean?
Yes. Like, I don't know. Like, if you say, like, this is the magic dagger and it's Willow and... I just don't get... The dagger.
I wish it had just been like, maybe the dagger gave her a feeling or something. Like, that I would have been fine with. If it's just like, ooh, magic force power makes the dagger, then she'll know where it is. But the map, when you're talking about wreckage that would move.
The wreckage is awfully big and heavy. My issue with it is why would you, like, when was the dagger made? Did they just make it, like, well, they had to make it after Return of the Jedi. They had to make it at some point, like, that stuff crashed in the ocean and someone's like, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to make a dagger that looks like this. And then when you pull out this little thing, it's going to look, might as well just say it, like, this movie, like, the whole, it's not really
good.
Sensible. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It doesn't fit too good.
It's as if they had a much, much longer movie that should have been two movies, and what they did was cut it down to a single movie that barely makes sense.
It's way too much movie. Like, it's like listening to a podcast on 1.5.
With like five people in the episode, too.
Yeah, it just doesn't, like, it just doesn't feel like there's time to, like, chill. Like, and I know it's like, oh, fast-paced and all that, but it's sort of like, you got to give a few, like The Force Awakens was a fast-paced movie, but, like, those scenes with Rey on Jakku, it sort of gave you time to, like, just, you know, get to know people. But it just, once it started with that, I was so jolted by the hyperspace skipping, something yeah. that this new concept that, like, added nothing. And just, I was like, is this a Star Tours advertisement? What is going on? Is that Cloud City?
What were they actually doing there? Because if he's just going to random points in space, then how does he know where he is when he ends up somewhere and then they have to get back home?
Yeah. I sort of feel like the story of the film is they had all these concepts, and then in editing the film down, like all the explanations got edited out, but in their head they still think it's explained.
I think that's exactly what happened. I mean, I also think what happened was is they, for reasons I will never understand, they decided, well, there was an original trilogy, there was a prequel trilogy, there must be a sequel trilogy, even if you can't fit the story you came up with into three movies.
Well, I would say a problem is they didn't come up with a story for three movies. Yes. They come up with a story for one movie, and then they came up with a different story for another movie, and then they came up with a different story for this third movie.
Correct. I 100% agree with that. I think that's the biggest problem that we're seeing between the last two, not fitting, gelling together that well.
Emily, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that for them to pretend that the plan is always bring Palpatine back, when, and then you have this scroll start with, hey, not only is Palpatine alive, but everybody in the galaxy knows he's alive. Like, look, I know sometimes the scroll drops big information and I don't need to see every step of everything, but to put something like that in a scroll, like if that had been in the plan all along, that's in The Last Jedi.
Yeah, so it wasn't in the plan all along. But the other thing I'll say is that this movie was not unique in Star Wars movies in that it was not planned out, because none of the movies were planned out.
Yes, not but the one. Difference is
you don't have to like.
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
What you're about to say.
Okay. But you need to have a, like, you got to play fair. Like, you don't have to have it planned out, but you sort of have to fit within the previous films. And I, like, it's so disjointed the way it fits, I feel.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Real quick, I was just going to say, tying back to what Steele just said, Emily said, I think these films kind of suffer from not having a creative in the driver's seat as a singular voice, maybe not necessarily directing or writing, but like overseeing as like a hands-on producer, all three of them.
No, I don't buy into that at all, because that's just perpetuating the Uncle George mythos, which is not real. Like, he had no plan for anything. He didn't think about things very hard. And his ideas usually didn't make any sense in the context of the things he just did.
But from movie to movie, they fit together.
Yeah, but that's a thing.
No, they didn't.
They didn't.
Oh, how didn't they?
I've done this so many times, Steele. How many times do I have to do it? Return of the Jedi is just someone yanking the emergency brake on the franchise, and everything just slams right into the windshield. Exactly what this movie does, except the difference is that movie dealt with the loose ends by just saying what loose ends, and this movie tries to wrap everything up and it can't.
Okay, well, I sort of think of like Yoda saying there is another, and then, you know, it wasn't originally going to be Princess Leia, but they made it Princess Leia, and so when you watch it, you're like, it fits. Like, and I just don't see, like people are, I don't know, like trying to Star Wars ring theory, you know, because she holds the lightsaber a certain way. And I'm just like, how many different, like, there's only a certain number of ways you can hold a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think it was, like, and okay, if it was Palpatine that was the granddad all along, no one told Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
Dude, Rian Johnson has said nobody told Rian Johnson.
It wasn't all along. It was never planned, but none of these were ever planned. And the problem with this movie is not that it somehow was made differently than the other movies. The problem with it is that it was made to be the ninth and final movie in a trilogy, and it shouldn't have been. They have two pretty good movies in here that could have been great movies, but they're two of them, and they tried to smash them both into one movie. That's why you cannot catch your breath. I think that explains why I felt like it was pretty poorly made. And I mean, poorly made in the sense, not that like the poorly made, like I could do better than that, but more like this was rushed and they were just trying to get something out the door and nobody really knew for sure what the end product was going to look like. Their problem was simply that they had a lot of stuff they wanted to do. And if they were split into two movies, not like in like a Harry Potter's or Twilight kind of way, but like if it was just like episode 9, then episode 10,
then
back to back,
then I'd win the prediction contest 2 years in a row. Bang.
I would say that still doesn't make the Palpatine thing at all like storytelling that I like.
I would say it doesn't make it any worse, though, than the Leia's your sister thing, which is still a stupid idea, but they've done something with it.
It's definitely worse. It's definitely worse because Luke and Leia being brother and sister doesn't change those characters. It doesn't change
them. They kissed each other.
Yeah, sure. They kissed each other. They didn't know they were brother and sister. It doesn't change the meaning of those characters. It doesn't change what it means to have the Force or anything like that. To change Rey's character to, the reason she's so powerful, it's because she's Palpatine's granddaughter. That's the reason she matters. That's the reason she has power. Oh, we thought the Force maybe was democratic and anybody could have the Force and anybody could be super powerful, even if you came from nothing and you could come from drunken, abusive parents who didn't care about you and become the hero who saved the galaxy. Nah.
Mm. Yeah. It's weird because I posted this thing today about the message of Star Wars is you can do anything as long as you're related to someone important. And people are saying, no, the message of this one is that, like, despite your family, you can do whatever you want. And it's like she only found out she was a Palpatine like 20 minutes ago. Like,
that's why it should be two movies, Steel. Well,
no, even if like – That already is the story. Like, even if her parents are nobody and nothing, the story is still you can become this great hero.
Mm. It's so weird because there's these quotes from J.J. Abrams in 2015 about, like, singing the praises of how good it is to come from – that she comes from nothing and how, like, he thinks the Force should be open to everyone. It's just – the film – it does seem like a checklist of, you know, and some of the checklists I was like, yes, so good. You know, I definitely gave a big cheer for Whitehead Wedge. I was very happy. Yeah.
I will say that, like, I agree with Emily. Her being a Palpatine is hands down the biggest disappointment for me in this film. I think we both kind of groaned at the same time when we first
saw it. I think I laughed.
I laughed.
And, so, like, it's just, like, I agree with you, Robbo, to an extent that this should have been two movies. But, again, going back to this argument that there should have been a clearer vision from the get-go if they were going to do three movies. Because then, instead of doing Last Jedi, you could break this in half and then that would be your movie. Or you do this in two parts and that's it. But I think ultimately, it just comes down to, it just feels like a big square peg in a round hole that they tried to fit, and it totally walks back the really powerful themes of the last movie, where you don't have to be somebody to be anybody, or vice versa, whatever. And then it's just like, just kidding.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Here, I'm going to, like, full disclosure time, all right? So, for this movie is the first time for any Star Wars movie that I have just went in whole hog on the spoilers.
Oh, because really?
Once I heard that Palpatine was coming back, because that was in the damn, like, teaser, mm-hmm. I was like, that sounds like the worst idea anyone has ever had in the history of ideas or people. And so I was thinking, like, when I heard there, you know, when the leaks were coming out and the spoilers and stuff, I was like, I have to know whether I can actually stomach this movie. Because I was really worried, because I don't think that I still think it's a terrible idea to bring him back. I don't think he was that compelling a villain to begin with. His plans are always terrible. And in this one, by the way, his plan doesn't even end up mattering, because it just happens that there's a better plan that he didn't think of that just falls into his lap, and he still loses. So he sucks. And I was really worried that, like, okay, he's coming back. I got to know. So I knew about the Rey being a Palpatine. I just saying that sounds so stupid. I knew about that in advance. And so I've had time to kind of make my peace with the stupidity of it. So that's maybe why I looked at it differently than others, because when I knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, I feel like there's one situation where knowing the spoilers, I felt like when I was watching movies, like, I kind of wish I didn't know this was – I wish that I didn't know that Chewie was not really dead, because I could have gotten, like, some emotion out of that. I would have felt like I felt something, and it feels good to feel things when you're so dead inside. And look, I'm a talking skeleton, man. What do you expect?
Right.
So, but – you know, so but in every other respect, I was like, I'm glad I knew this was coming, because I've already had, like, because, you know, I had issues with stuff in The Last Jedi, because I'm like, I don't like the way this was done. Little things, not big things like this, but they were little things, and they really took me out of the movie in ways that I couldn't handle right away. But when I saw it the second time and I knew they were coming, I was fine with it. Like the prank call at the beginning. You know, I didn't need Poe Dameron to become the Jerky Boys, but whatever. That's what happened. All right. I can deal with it. This was a bigger deal, but I'm so glad that I knew the stupid shit was coming, because it was like I was already done being disappointed by it. And so I could just enjoy it for whatever it was.
I think if I had read all the spoilers for this movie, I would not have seen this movie.
Oh, really? I don't have a choice. Yeah. It says Star Wars. I've got to go.
Yeah, how could you not have seen this movie? You're just going to retire your podcast, Emily?
I mean, there's The Mandalorian, and there's going to be an Obi-Wan series, and there's Resistance, and there's hopefully like a Rian Johnson trilogy, and there's stuff beyond this.
No, you got to like all of it, or you like none of it, Emily.
Yeah.
If you didn't, if this movie disappointed you, it's time to retire completely from the fandom and never speak about it again.
I got to say, what really... Look, I'm not saying I hated every single thing in this movie. There's scenes I like because I care about these characters, and there's some funny moments and there's some exciting moments. But I went into this knowing there would be stuff that would piss me off, even if I didn't know what that stuff was specifically. What I wasn't prepared for is how little I felt during this movie.
On paper, there's these moments that I should have melted for, like Luke lifting the X-Wing, the fleet arriving. I think the fleet arriving was it just should not have been in the trailer.
No.
Yeah.
Because the whole time I'm just like, well, who cares? The fleet's coming. Oh, Snap died. Oh, well, the fleet's coming. Probably should have come sooner. Like, and then past that, there was nothing else cool about them. Like, except Wedge was flying, or a gunner, but then they all got electrocuted, and it was sort of, anyway. But I've found on Wikipedia there's a very brief plot, so that might help us go through it. Kylo Ren obtains a Sith Wayfinder device and travels to the planet Exegol.
Mustafar from the beginning, by the way.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
Wait,
no.
The one where he does the pile driver with the saber, that's Mustafar?
Yep.
It has vegetation?
So, wait a second. The planet that we know of as exclusively rocks, lava, and castle also has a forest.
A burnt out, desolate forest, yeah.
Maybe there's just like a nice little island somewhere.
I don't even remember that.
Like sandals.
Whoa.
The scene, you know, the one from the trailer where they're fighting in the trees.
Where he does it's where he gets the triangle holocron, the very, very first shot of the movie. He's with the other First Order troopers.
Oh!
You know what
those
talking
guys
about, right?
He's killing are Vader cultists. They worship Darth Vader.
He should have brought a mask. What? They would have, like, been all about it.
Ah!
Was that known, or did you look that up, Pause?
Visual dictionary, baby. Been looking through it before we started recording.
By the way, I see there's a Sith Trooper helmet on that cover. Man, did those guys turn out to be nothing.
I kind of knew it.
Yeah, I thought they wouldn't be a huge deal, but I thought we'd at least see something more.
You don't even get a good look at them, really.
Were they in it?
On the final fight on the, they're fighting them on the Star Destroyer when they're outside.
All right, yeah, I don't, I like, it doesn't sort of, I don't really care, like, it's sort of.
They're set dressing, like. The
yeah, it doesn't.
Except but Ren were in it more than I thought they would be.
Hey, you know, you can't blame Star Wars. They've always capitalized on, we've got really cool costumes that we barely use. Like, let's make toys and merchant out of them. That's what they've always done. Like,
all right, so that Mustafar thing is.
It's interesting.
Stupid.
Yeah, it seems.
Like, yeah, and apparently, you know, the chest he opens that has the Wayfinder, or Holocron or whatever, that's in the ruins of Vader's castle. Vader's castle is no longer standing. It's in ruins.
Oh, it just seems like pointless connections.
Yes!
Welcome to Star Wars.
Yeah.
He just, okay, so he travels to Exegol. Am I saying that planet right or incorrectly?
I think so.
Okay. He discovers a physically impaired Palpatine who reveals he created Snoke as a puppet to control the Force, First Order, and lure Kylo to the dark side. I have to say, the revelation about the whole scene with the elevator dropping down and then the explanation about the like seeing the clone Snokes, mm-hmm. I was into that. I like my Snoke action. That was...
All right. Who else like was confused about what Palpatine was actually saying there? Because he says, "I've been every voice that's inside your head." Does that mean that he was actually controlling Snoke?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, that's...
He created Snoke and then sent him on his way and controlled Snoke, I guess. And through Snoke was talking to Ben?
Hmm.
Was he doing it every time Snoke talked, or was he only doing it when he heard him inside his head?
I wonder if he was, like, influencing Snoke more than just, like, puppeting Snoke.
Yeah, I feel like he was more influencing Snoke. But I wonder, does Snoke know?
I don't understand what the point is. Yeah, exactly. Like, why, like, if you can create, like, people in jars, create yourself, dude. Like, do something.
But then, apparently... Like, so you see the clone Snokes and they just look like Snokes. But then apparently in that Kylo Ren comic that came out this week, like Snoke, he looks like that because of something Luke Skywalker did to him.
Hey, guess what? They're not talking to each other. Comics don't matter!
I feel personally attacked.
That fits the Skeletor gif perfectly. But that was sort of... Sorry, go.
Rishon. No, you go ahead.
Like, this bit was when I first started tripping out that this film is going too fast. Because all of a sudden, he makes all these Star Destroyers come out of the dirt. Just... And it's sort of like, what is... I don't... It just seemed... I was sort of like, oh, this is fast-paced.
The movie doesn't even show you that Kylo Ren notices. So you're like, why is he doing what this old man says? Like, I was just like, the Rian Johnson cut of this movie would be like Palpatine does that. And then Kylo Ren just cuts off his head right there and it's over. How boss would that be? Like, he's just like, no, you're dead too.
Now, yeah. So he unveils secret reminders of Star Destroyers and tells Kylo to find and kill Rey, who is continuing her Jedi training under General Leia Organa. Does he
know who Rey is?
Well, he does.
How? Through Snoke and Kylo's manipulation?
What do you mean? The Emperor?
Yeah.
The Emperor knows who Rey is.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, how does the Emperor know who Rey is?
Oh, that's the...
Here's the thing. How and why do not get answered with anything regarding the Emperor, which is a little frustrating to me.
Well, the other thing is, like, if his whole plan was to have Rey show up so she could kill him and he could inhabit her body, then why does he want her to die away from him where none of that can happen?
Yeah, I guess it comes down to he didn't think that would happen or something? Because
so
it doesn't
fit.
What was
his first plan?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I have a question.
He hired the guy after he had somebody specially forge a dagger that would match up with the ruins of the place where he supposedly died. Said, take this, go kill this kid's parents and kill the kid. That guy killed the parents, couldn't kill the kid, died on some place somewhere for some reason.
Who was the dagger map for?
I don't know. Was it meant so that, because I thought at some point I thought that it was supposed to be that it was supposed to lead Rey to the Emperor. But then again, it's like, well, why did you make it that way? Why did you do it? Why did you try to kill her in the first place? I think they had six different ideas about how this was going to go. And then they just settled on some of them and they didn't worry about connecting them. I cannot believe that they like canned two scripts and one director and ended up with this.
I just like that J.J. Abrams, you're going to make a Star Wars film. And the first thing he comes back with, like, hey, we're going to need a map. We're going to go, we have to go look for someone.
I mean, they don't really explain how the Emperor comes back at all, right?
What
Sith power.
They don't really explain? They don't touch upon it.
No, but I mean, like...
Well,
no, what they didn't touch upon it. He has a line about how he did it through his Sith powers. That's all. That's all you need to know.
But is that him? Or is, like is
Dominic Monaghan, apparently, he says something like, I don't know, dark side cloning stuff, right? Is literally almost what he says.
I didn't notice that.
I do remember that, but so much of the dialogue is
just go with it.
No, it's just filling. It's like when Chewbacca is alive and Rey's like, he must have been on the other transport. And it's like, well, you didn't think about that when you presumed he was like, it's so much of when they're talking to each other is explaining sort of issues with the film, kind of. Hawes, how are you doing, buddy?
All right.
He's busy shaving, man.
So how did you, were you fine with Palpatine's, like, whole coming back and his sort of plan and stuff, or what's going on?
I don't quite understand how he came back. Like, I don't feel like they answered that, but honestly, I feel like there could have been less explanation than they gave us. I don't know. I liked all the Palpatine stuff, like with him. I liked the Sith Temple stuff a lot. I thought he was creepy as hell. He looked like something out of Hellraiser 2, like missing the fingers and the milky white eyes and stuff. And like, there is a certain amount of shenanigans I am personally willing to shrug off in the name of the Force. Like, it's the thing about Star Wars, if they explain it as the Force, like, there's a certain amount of that I'm okay with. His plan, I don't know, maybe it's just me and how I tried to connect it, but I thought maybe his plan was trying to put Rey through this whole ordeal, so by the time she got to him, she would be at the point where she would strike out at him in anger. Because he says she has to kill him in anger for him to be able to pass over. And I think maybe he was hoping that if he tells Kylo, hey, go kill her, he knows that Kylo won't be able to, and she'll kill him, and maybe that'll start her descent to the dark side. Which it kind of almost did, right? Like, that's why she decides to go and go to Ahch-To, is because she gave into the dark side and stabbed Kylo, felt bad about it, healed him, and was like, I don't want any part of this, and left.
Sheev is not a Reylo.
Definitely not.
I kind of agree, though. Like, I really liked how it looked. I liked kind of the tone, and I liked all of the sort of action that took place with Palpatine and at that temple. But without kind of a deeper explanation, it was kind of just surface level, because there's nothing really like weighing down other than, you know, this is like the big bad guy and I'm attached to Rey and I'm attached to Ben. But as far as the how and whys, it's kind of like, yeah,
we're just there.
And I, once again, maybe this is just my interpretation. I don't think that's like 100% just Sheev. Like, it's his body, it's his voice, but I think it's like some weird dark side thing where he's inhabited by generations of Sith spirits. Yeah. Like, it's
so it's, you think that that speech he has at the end is like literal, that like literally everybody is in him.
And okay. I think like all those cultists you see, which is another favorite, one of my favorite parts, when Rey shows up and they start chanting and it reveals like these hundreds and hundreds of weird Sith dudes in robes. Like, I wonder if they did some weird ritual to imbue Palpatine's corpse with the spirit of all these Sith, like one big final play to try and.
I wonder if it's even his actual corpse. And like you were saying, Haas, they did some ritual to like revive his spirit, but it's conjuring the dark side with all these different spirits of other Sith. And that's why it's like incomplete until he can get that sacrifice to transfer into another person that he's trying to do with Rey.
Yeah, like, all that sounds great.
If there's just one sentence, just give me one sentence.
Yeah, like, and, like, you know, and people, like with Snoke, I didn't need a backstory and all that sort of stuff. I just accepted. But it's like the climax of Return of the Jedi is this guy dying. And I was just like, is that, like, he looks exactly the same. Is that him? Is he grew another one of himself? Like, is he, had he been like setting up clones? I just felt like that. I just needed 20 seconds.
Yeah. Give me one sentence. Just like, a tweet.
Hitting me on that. She's training under General Leia Organa, which I, like the stuff with, Carrie Fisher and Rey, it was clunky, and I don't think it was Daisy Ridley's best acting performance, but I really liked it. I accept the limitations of what they had to do, and I had a good time with that bit.
Considered, it's pretty impressive. Yeah.
I mean, in Daisy's defense, it's probably pretty hard when you're not actually acting up against another actor anyway, but when it's the added toll of it's supposed to be this character played by a woman you knew who you lost, that's got to be a weird situation.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm sort of just like, I really enjoyed it, and the look on Daisy Ridley's face or Rey's face when she calls Leia master, like her just happy smile.
I loved her calling Leia master.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Oh, that was such a sweet little surprise.
That was really nice.
I very much enjoyed that. And I liked all the, like the training stuff, and I enjoyed that planet. I liked how, she got really frustrated with the droid, and she ended up like just using her staff old school. Jakku, bringing it down Jakku style, fools.
And then she smashed BB-8 with a tree.
It was an accident.
That was very funny. You angry about the BB-8 thing, Emily?
No, I thought because like the scene that it leads to with Poe and Rey is fantastic.
Yeah, I very much like that. Like, I love, like, when, like, it's weird. This film is so, it's such a journey of emotion, because I can't stand the hyperspace skipping, because it was, just why have it there? Anyway, but when it arrives and it's on fire, hilarious. Yes,
yeah, that's the thing about this movie. The humor is so well interwoven and integrated into the natural action of the story, whereas I felt like in The Last Jedi they almost like pumped the brakes to tell a joke more often than not.
Yeah, I felt like the humor in The Last Jedi was a bit more narrow, in like some people just didn't like it,
right?
But I just found the humor in this was sort of,
it flowed really well.
It was like perfect.
Yeah,
everyone's gonna laugh at this. Mm-hmm. Like Star Wars humor. C-3PO,
oh sorry, good,
just banger after banger.
Yeah
he was great.
Yeah, it's okay.
Come on, Robbo.
Yeah, okay.
Meanwhile, Finn, Poe, Dameron, and Chewbacca retrieve information on Kylo's discovery originating from a First Order spy. Now, I'm fine. It's a movie. It was tense. They're plugging in the Ethernet cable into R2-D2. But that took a long time for essentially what a text message of information was. Come on, Star Wars technology. Pick it up.
Crazy, that alien that they get the information from, the voice was Mark Hamill, wasn't it? I picked it up the second time we saw it.
It sounded right. I bet you're right.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, he did not. Did you see what happened to him later on?
Yeah, it's not a way to get ahead in life.
Oof. That was Attack of the Clones C-3PO-esque.
Now's not a time to lose one's head, Steel. These are all Austin Powers.
Just hit him, Steel. Just hit him.
He's too...
He's right there. He's right there. Just hit him.
It would be so easy.
I don't know.
Look, every one of us would look the other way, Steel.
Wait, I think Haas was saying something complimentary.
All right, go Haas.
Oh, I just said I think Rashad's ahead of the game on this one.
Hey-oh!
Haas, I love you. I never want to hear that again. Don't.
I'll give you a heads up if I do.
And it's saved.
After learning that Palpatine has returned, wait. I don't understand. So they have that discussion, like at the Resistance Roundtable, which must be a podcast. they're sort of like saying that Palpatine's back, but didn't everyone already know?
They heard the voice. They're confirming that it's actually.
Oh, okay. How did he get this out? Like iTunes, Spotify, YouTube?
Wherever you get your podcast from.
Okay.
Wherever.
I mean, the same way that they got out the message on Crate, where they're like, we sent the message out to everybody in the galaxy and nobody responded. It's like, really? Like, you had like a radio tower there? So it's the same stupid logic.
Hey, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What does the broader galaxy know about the Emperor? Because I remember reading in the Princess Leia, the Leia Princess of Alderaan book, there's a scene when, but and this is only because she's a teenager in that book, so only a few years before the movie, and the Emperor will do these like propaganda things, and you know he looks like the young Palpatine. He's not all like wizened and gross and disgusting. And it's just like, you know, like political propaganda. So what does the broader galaxy, do they know to be terrified of him? Because it doesn't really seem like they should be. They should know that. Like, they know the Empire was violent and bad, but that kind of like, oh, instantly hearing that the Emperor is back would strike fear into hearts everywhere to the point where they're not going to ever resist?
Yeah, but I think like he was generally known as bad because everyone partied at the end of Return of the Jedi. Like,
oh, okay.
Like they tore down the towers.
What movie was that?
Special edition, buddy. Special edition.
That one doesn't count though.
It does.
It doesn't.
Where did I get to? After learning Palpatine's return, Rey discovers notes on a Sith artifact in the Jedi text Luke Skywalker left behind. I liked that they had that little, like, sort of follow-on from that she's been reading her books. Very diligent student. Rey, Poe, Finn, Chewbacca, BB-8, and C-3PO leave for Pasana to seek a contact Luke knew, while R2-D2 stays behind with Leia.
And Rose stays behind to do nothing.
It's the Rose thing.
That's a big old bummer.
It's a bit like this, like, so, you know, you didn't have, like, it just seemed like J.J. Abrams is like, what? I'll use Rian Johnson's ideas, like the Force Skype and stuff.
But then bits that he just didn't like, it was just like... and also bits that he... like, and people think it's like some sort of bitter rivalry or whatever, but for things that he liked, he just ignored. He's like, oh, yeah, let's get the mask back on him. And
but, like, the infuriating thing is, and this goes, I mean, this happens again, like you pointed out earlier, the 2015 thing when he was talking about how great it is that Rey is from nowhere and that the Force should be like that. He also said that, like, the casting of Kelly Marie Tran was one of the best things that the gift that Rian Johnson gave him, and then she doesn't do anything with that. JG says lots of things.
Uncle George says lots of things. It's a cycle. It all rhymes. The thing is I think he filmed probably like a 400-minute movie again, and you have to cut it down to one movie, and you got to cut out stuff that's extraneous.
Yeah, but that means you made the Asian woman extraneous to your movie.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not
choice. But it wasn't like it was never there. Like, she didn't go with them. She didn't get edited out of them going. But the dialogue, it was so bad. I have to stay here to do homework for Princess Leia. It was I don't know.
Oh, you think that's evidence that she never had a big part?
Yeah,
that could be. I'd like to think better of that, because I feel like, number one, Kelly Marie Tran hit it out of the park in The Last Jedi. She has some tough lines to read, and she did a fantastic job. Really sold it. And it bothers me because I really like that character, and I am really disappointed that it seemed like they were building up to something where I thought Finn was going to tell Rey something about how, like, things have developed between him and Rose, and he never said anything. And then,
what you thought it was going to be?
I thought so. I thought it was going to be one of those weird moments where, like, this happens in real life, right? Where you think, like, there was a real connection between us, but I met someone else, and I feel like I have to say something. And then you say something, and then they're like, oh, well, that's good for you. Like, there was no connection. I was completely wrong, but it's okay because I found someone else. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe that's just, like, the romantic in me, I guess. But I always thought, I always wanted to see, like I thought Rose and Finn were, like, perfect together.
Well, Finn clearly friend zones her with the pat on the shoulder. I was sort of like, because I thought when I was watching it for the first time, it was going to be a little kiss goodbye, and it was like this.
Yeah, it's frustrating because they bring in, we'll get to them later, they bring in characters later in the movie that are new, and I like them, but they're completely shallow characters. We don't really do much with them, we don't know that much with them, and they sideline Kelly, and you already have a character. You don't have to develop that much. We already are invested in this character. You just throw her in the mix instead of, you know, pushing her aside for characters we're not going to develop.
Jane is her real name. Was Jaina her name in the show?
That's her name in the movie.
Okay, yeah, I thought she was pretty good.
I thought she was good too, but there's not much there.
Like, she was, like, I actually really enjoyed it.
She was good. I think she was supposed to be Lando's missing daughter, and they just got rid of that.
Oh, I'm glad they got rid of that.
Yeah, that seemed like another JJ, like, maybe we'll do it, but then we'll just move it around. Sorry, Hawes.
Oh, I was just going to say, in the visual dictionary and the... in the section for Lando, it says that his daughter was kidnapped by the First Order.
I think that my understanding of it is, based on the spoilers I've heard, again, I have this weird super mutant power where I heard the spoilers first, that it was going to be something where it was hinted at and the movie would never conclusively say so. But at the end, where she's like, where Lando asked, like, where are you from? And she was going to say something. He's like, and he was going to say, really? Or something like that. And it was just going to imply. And that he was going to say earlier that, like, you know, I had a life for myself on such and such a place or something like that. And then the First Order invaded. Because they really also haven't explained, like, what the hell Lando was doing when he showed up.
Mm.
And that seems like a big mistake to me as well. But
if I don't know. Like, if it was set up with, like, when...
Lando, like when they meet him in the desert, like if he said, oh, yeah, I'll help because, you know, they took my family or something, and then it was later on. But I was the only thing that popped into my mind of what Finn was going to tell Rey was that he loved her. But Hawes, you had a different theory.
Yeah, I'm dead set on this now after thinking about it. I think he wanted to tell her that he was force sensitive, that he realized he could connect with the force.
I have a question, which is they have that thing, and then it is repeatedly brought up as kind of like a couple times as a joke between him and Poe. Why do they just drop that? Leave that in and then not do anything to resolve it at all?
That boggles. Like, it's the end. It's the last. No threads. Dun, 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 dun. Like,
it's weird.
It's the Cypher Diaz of this trilogy.
I wish Cypher Diaz got followed up. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait for those next films with Cypher Diaz. Damn it.
In this one, it was just like, I'm just waiting for the next like 20 minutes where they're going to tell you, and it never shows up again. I think that's what the editing was trying to hint to you, Hawes, was that, oh, what he was really going to say is, I am force sensitive. Like, that's the last thing you would say to your, like, you know, one of your best friends before you were suffocated to death in like gravel. I don't think so. I think that what they should have done, and this is my favorite thing to do because I always know what people should have done after they've done it and it's too late. I also always know what I should have done after I've done it and it's too late, by the way. That's how it works.
Finish the sentence.
I don't think I'm good at now, Steele.
All right, cool. We'll move on. On Pisana, they encounter Lando Calrissian. And Pisana section, big fan.
Yeah.
Loved it. The whole scene to those little boobies, those little snorkel men, the little snorkel babies, watching the little puppet show, to how much Rey was having a good time. I love it when Rey has a good time. And then like the reveal of Lando. I know because, you know, Jackie was sort of like, you know, pretty removed from like, she'd seen the trailers, but then had forgotten, you know, if you only watch it once. When Lando appeared, she was,
I remember,
thrilled. She was like, sort of like going,
yeah, I remember that.
Aww.
It was really sweet.
Having him back is that whole scene. I loved it.
I forgive anything with Lando because then I get more Lando.
Pretty handy with the old crossbow as well. Yeah.
Did he ever explain why he was there?
No.
Doesn't matter. He's there for a party.
Well, he went there with...
They were having a party. They only have it once every 42 years. I was here 42 years ago, and it was pretty badass. So
he says something about being there for something for Leia, doesn't he?
No, he went there with Luke and just stayed there.
Oh, but maybe he got a message from Leia that they...
Yeah.
Maybe like, oh, I heard you were coming or something.
Yeah, but I...
Why did he get the message when they were asking for help in the last movie?
He was having that party. They had a puppet show. What was I supposed to do? Not watch the puppet show?
Yeah, man.
I'm watching the puppet show.
You can't. Once you paid for the puppet show, you've got to see it out.
What he should have said is he should have said to Finn, like, you know, while they're all there, he's like, I don't know. I just got this. I was here with Luke. We were looking for something. We couldn't find it. And I got the feeling that I should come back here. And I'm telling you, I've learned one thing in my life, and that's that you listen to those feelings. And he says that to Finn, and Finn's like, he like kind of gets like a realization. He's like, yeah, that's something. And then it has some kind of connection where there's like, yeah, he's like, you listen to when you like, not everybody has force powers, not everybody has superpowers, but anybody can like listen to their gut, which is kind of what the force at its core is.
Okay. I just got the impression he was being there the whole time. But when he tells the story of how him and Luke tracked, they were on a mission together, I was just like, I was like, I need that show. I like Luke and Lando on a mission. Oh,
it's like Miami Vice. Let's go.
where we are on Kylo learns where Rey is through their force bond and travels to Pisana with the Knights of Ren.
Oh, he snatches the necklace. Yeah, right? That was sick.
Everything.
Can we not, yeah.
Everything.
Everybody thinks that's cool.
Everything with Kylo Ren and Rey in the movie is dope.
100%.
Except disagree.
Except the kiss. The only thing I don't like.
No, the kiss is the best bit.
Ugh.
Other than that, I'm fully on board with everything.
Yeah, it's totally cool when chick kisses the dude who tortured her in a previous movie. That's awesome.
What about when the boy forgives the dad who tortured his sister?
Yeah, no, honestly, like, forgiveness is one thing. I'm going to make out with you now, and I think you're hot. That's a very different story.
She clearly thought he was hot, like, in episode 8.
Maybe the thing that tortured her the most was his vibe.
He literally tortured her and also told her that everybody else thought she was nothing and tried to completely separate her from her friends and family. Like, totally, like, checklist gaslighting emotional abuse.
Galactic negging.
Yeah, I get it. Like, I understand that aspect of it, because that's like, especially after episode 7, that's how I felt. I was like, when I first heard rumblings like, oh, some people think these two should hook up, I'm like, oh, that's typical. Like, fans, they always want the weirdest, ickiest thing. And Last Jedi, I got like a very different vibe. And I'm like, well, I don't think the movie wants us to feel that way. I feel like that. First of all, the worst thing Kylo Ren ever does to anybody or anything is that he orders an entire village to be murdered. Everybody forgets that part. But the way that he, like, when he, this is mostly because Adam Driver is amazing at his job, but when he switches gears and he's like, no, I'm Ben Solo again, and he seems like a completely different person.
Yes, totally. I wasn't ready for, like, the switch.
I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem with the idea that he isn't responsible for what he did as Kylo Ren.
Oh, I don't think that's what the movie was saying. No. I think that's what some people wanted the movie to say. But and those people were very upset with this movie. So I don't think that's what the movie was saying at all. Because
I think having the big romantic kiss at the end is really deeply troubling.
I don't like that. But if the movie really wanted us to feel the way that Robbo, you kind of described, then he would have survived and gone back to the Resistance and be like, hey, guys, about that. So that's why he had to die at the end.
No, because he's still responsible for the deaths of dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands.
He would have to answer for his crimes.
No, you don't get to come back. And he knows, he knows that. Like, I think that that's his whole point. He's like, no, I'm climbing up the face of this cliff to survive so I can save this person who, like, you know, he loves, I don't think he knows how she feels about him at all, really. And he's like, no, this is what I'm here to do. I'm going to do this and I'm going to die. And what happens, happens. Like, apparently Jedi Heaven is easier to get into than, like, the University of Phoenix. But
I do like that Rey is immediately over his death.
Well, that's classic Star Wars.
It is.
But yeah, all of that stuff except for the kiss, I really enjoyed between the two of them.
I was kind of hoping, I was like, they won't kiss, will they? Will they won't? And then they did, and for some reason I was just like, kissing is great.
But
people should kiss. Like, I don't know why.
Did you see?
And I get what Emily's saying, exactly. I get it. I really do.
I totally do. But then I think about the dreamy look he gave her after they kissed, and I'm like,
I would have kissed that face.
Keep kissing.
I don't know. Like, I think it's
Emily's blank look says so much.
Yeah. Emily, like, I think that it's perfectly valid to look at that. And I get it. Like, I think that there is a problem there. And I don't think the movie is saying the same thing as it's not saying that these two belong together forever. They're soulmates. They, you know, if only things were different, they could have had a happy life together. I don't think that's the point. And I don't think that Rey looks at that character entirely the same way that the audience will. And that may create some of the dissonance.
Can I ask, Emily, if the torturing wasn't there, but the killing of villagers was, would you be more at ease with it?
I still think it's a big problem, like, but it's the torturing, and again, it's the you're nobody except me, which is such classic, like, controlling emotional abusive behavior that I can't ever be behind anything that romantically links those characters. I find it deeply disturbing to me. And I know, like, the people who are in the theater who I've talked to, and, like, this is not it's not the same as what I went through, but I definitely know that line that he has there is word for word what other people in abusive relationships have heard, who are sitting in the theater hearing that line, and then that character is a romantic hero. That's, like, I can't ever get over that.
All right. That makes it clearer. I see your POV.
I want to say, I know, like, plenty of people who, like, ship Raylo, who have also been in, like, abusive relationships. I know, and it's not like, oh, if you like, if you are for Raylo, that means you approve of abuse. I don't want that to be takeaway. Just for me personally, I can't get behind it.
I think that's why it's so hard to talk about this issue. Like, they work themselves into a weird corner where there's really no right answer. Because I think that feeling is 100% valid, because exactly what you said. There's some people who have experienced that. And how can you not hear him say, like, you're nobody, you're nothing, but not to me? Because that's, as you said, that is literally, like, that's what negging is. And I've said it many times before. That's what he's doing. I think that, I guess that's the problem. That's one of the many problems with this movie, is that there is emotional baggage that needs to be lifted. And this movie cannot do it because it's so concerned with wrapping everything up. And there's a way of handling this. Like, I also think, frankly, like, is when Ghost Luke appears. I'm jumping ahead just a little bit here, but when he appears, why doesn't he apologize to Ray?
Because,
why doesn't he say, I'm sorry I treated you like garbage? Because, like, look, I'm on the record. I not only predicted that Luke would do that, I wanted him to do that. But it's because I wanted it to fit within what I thought Luke should naturally, the kind of mental place he should be in. He wants everybody to leave him alone, and he is happy to be as horrible as he has to be if people will just look at him with the same hatred he views himself with. That's all he wants in that stage.
But
at the end, when he's a ghost, you're supposed to have it all together, and you'd be like, look, I am really sorry. I should have supported you when I had the chance, and I didn't. And please forgive me, is what I wanted to hear.
He didn't say that because the whole film was meant to, not touch on the things that some people found annoying about The Last Jedi.
I mean, he says he was wrong. He admits he was wrong, like, in that scene.
No, he admits he was wrong to run away from his problems. He's saying, what you're doing, I get it, but I did that too, and I was wrong. He's not talking at all about, hey, I tried to get you to leave when you were looking for anybody who could understand you, and you went right into the arms of somebody who could have seriously hurt you, and it's all my fault. I'm sorry. He doesn't say that. And character-wise, that's what that character would have and should have said.
So, on Persona, they encounter Lana Krizian, who leads them to the artifact's last known location in the desert. Sort of, again, odd, like, Lando is gone now and then sort of just arrives back. But Kylo learns where Rey is through their Force bond, which I really like, travels to Pisana with the Knights of Ren, and Rey and the others discover the remains of the Sith assassin, his ship, and a dagger inscribed with the Sith text. Now, whilst I found their explosion off the bikes into the quicksand rather comical, I like the quicksand. I hate quicksand. It's terrified me since I was young. I just, like, I remember like on Tarzan or something, he had quicksand, and I was like, I can't believe there's this quicksand just out there. Like, I sort of worried that, like, I'd come across some someday and I'd have to do something. So I got very claustrophobic about the quicksand coming back. So, and I kind of liked that it went down to those little tunnels. That was
a little relief for you.
Oh, hey, everybody lives.
Yeah, I don't want to die in the quicksand.
Horse. No, it's horrible.
Did you seem like the sort of guy that would have been scared of some quicksand as a youth?
When they hit the quicksand, I turned to Jesse and I was like, oh, it's my third grade nightmare. Great.
Oh, I want to know what the other two are now.
My third? No.
Oh, third. Oh, okay.
But I was in third grade. I was afraid of it.
Oh, I see. What was everybody's biggest nightmare?
In the movie or in general?
In general.
Stepping on a spider sack and a bunch of baby spiders coming.
Oh,
wow. Jesus. Emily.
I don't know. I never liked things that skitter.
Like roaches and stuff?
Ugh, roach, anything that, like, or spiders, anything that moves weird with lots of legs.
Apparently steel is quicksand. Rashad.
Is this going to be used against me at some point in the future?
Everything will be used against
me. Almost definitely, yes.
It's some, like Saw movie setup.
I was always really scared of, like, spiders coming out of, like, the shower head or like the toilet if I was on it or something, or like snakes or something.
You should have said I was always afraid of being doused with money. Just drowning in $100 notes.
I was afraid to live in a world without pens.
I don't get the joke.
Okay. So Ray and the others.
Nobody asked, but paper cut on your eyeball.
Oh.
I still have kid? Nightmares about that.
Mine goes
ever since I was like, ever since I first had a paper cut, I was like, man, that feels horrible. But if it was on my eyeball, that would be the worst thing ever. You could feel every granule of that paper going through your...
Stop.
Oof. Anyway, Ray and the others discover the remains of a Sith assassin, his ship, and a dagger inscribed with Sith text.
Did we know he was a Sith assassin?
Wasn't he a Jedi hunter or
he was
something?
He's like a Jedi hunter, right?
That's what Lando said, yeah.
This is the thing. The dagger, this dagger, they should be selling this on like late night television. It cuts, it maps, it translates. There's so many things going on with this one dagger. The whole thing with C-3PO... being forbidden from interpreting it, but having it in his head and knowing it. Hilarious.
He's so good in this movie.
I found that so frustratingly funny.
He's so fun. There's a shot where they're like arriving on Pasana for the first time, and I think he says something, and they all look back at him for a beat.
I don't get that.
And he was just like, what? And he like turns around and looks behind them. Like he doesn't get that they're annoyed with him.
I don't get... What does he say?
I don't remember, but it was, like, something dumb. And I think he said describes the thing as, like, it's a festival or something, and they're known for their exotic drinks and delicious sweets. And they kind of turn back and look at him like, bro, we're on a mission. And he's just like, oh, what? And he like,
yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
Ah, yeah, that was the one, I think, thing of humor that I was just like...
He's so good. C-3PO is so good in this movie, and I never thought I'd ever say that. Well done.
I like the detail of that the Sith language is outlawed, and it has been since like back in the Republic.
Yeah, so like, that's really cool.
No droid is allowed to translate it. Like, it's a long-standing rule that they made that's just like pre-programmed into droids.
That's really cool. I do really like that a lot.
Yeah, that was That was a pretty damn good. Sensing that Kylo is nearby, Rey goes to confront him. First Order captures the one named Falcon, Chewbacca, and the dagger. Rey attempting to save Chewbacca. Oh, actually, this is... So that's the bit with the TIE fighter and Rey. And this is a bit of a common theme, or with two things that I can think of, is... where the trailer's edited better than the film. I just like they don't have. I don't think they have a shot of Kylo in the cockpit. Am I right or
you,
right?
No? They do.
They do.
It's the same one from the trailer. Yeah,
oh, okay.
He's like space or his head.
Yeah, okay, but I definitely was. Everyone else like at the point where she cut it, or no, when she's in the flip. I was like, I've watched that so many times. Like, what happens next? What happens next? And he cuts the wing off. She cuts the wing off. I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed seeing what happened next.
It was pretty cool.
I kind of missed one part that I really liked when they're doing the desert chasing. This reminded me of it. And they shoot the one, like, rocket trooper or whatever. And he starts screaming like crazy as he's, like, going all out of control. Like, I don't know. Like, that got a laugh out of me.
Is that the dude or is that the sound of his rocket pack?
I thought it was the dude.
I thought so too.
I thought it was a rocket pack.
Mm-mm. Me too. I was like, I hope that's the rocket pack because that dude's got some lungs. Because he's screaming. That is crazy.
When he slammed into the desert wall, I waited for the Roadrunner to come up and go, beep, beep, and run off.
Yeah. The fact that they spend so much time on that, but what you're saying, Steele, is like, I think you said like the trailers were edited better. It's because that trailer like gave you a second to breathe where you weren't sure what she was preparing for. What if instead of like you see like Kylo's fighter approaching and you see the Knights of Ren assembling, what if Rey was just acting weird and she's like, they're all getting on the ship. He's like, wait a second. I've got to go. And she like just runs out into the middle of like the salt flats.
Isn't that what she did? Like, what?
Well, from Finn's perspective, that's what she did, but we know what's happening.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. That's how movies work, Steele, is like you select what the audience knows and doesn't know. So if you didn't know, like, again, you put this in the trailer, so we all know, but like, let's say that you didn't know.
I get what you mean now. Okay.
Right. You didn't know what she was doing. And she just goes out there and it's like, and everybody's looking at her like, what is she doing? This is crazy. Why would anybody do that? And then, like, you don't know the Knights of Ren are there. You don't know anything is there. And then suddenly you just hear the sound of a TIE fighter.
That's cool.
And then she's just standing there. The movie doesn't have time to do shit like that because it's in such a hurry to get to the end. I cannot understand why they wanted to make episode 9 the end of this story.
Robbo, you can't, like, you diss me for going on about the same thing all the time, but no more two movie, and it's like, it's too much. It's too much. You need new points on this one. But can I tell you about the time, how it's used incorrectly in The Last Jedi? It's a joke between me and Robbo. I mention it every podcast. The first little captures Millennium Falcon Chewbacca and the dagger. Captures the dagger. Rey attempting to save Chewbacca accidentally destroys a first order transport with force lightning. The group escapes on the assassin ship, presuming that Chewbacca died in the explosion. Robbo, you said you wished you bought into Chewbacca dying. Is that right?
Yeah, because that would have been a big hit for me because, as I think I said on a recent Blue Harvest that I was lucky enough to guest on with both Hawes and Will, that what would really kill me, there are three characters that I would absolutely be crushed to find out that they died. And that's 3PO, R2, and Chewie. And if I really believe that Chewbacca had died, I would have really felt something serious. And then when I found out Chewbacca was still alive, it would have been like being delivered from the pits of hell. Like, I do not want, the last thing in the world I want is for Chewbacca to die. Chewbacca can live forever.
I fell for it and I was devastated.
Yeah. Oh shit.
In fact, all Jesse did last night to our friends at the house was make fun of how much I was crying when I thought Chewbacca was dead. I was dead. Cause like, It was a big enough nightmare that it was Chewie dying, and even worse, that Rey was responsible in some way. I couldn't take it.
I was
so, like, when he showed up, I was so relieved.
Yeah, I sadly, I don't know, I must have been thinking about it too much, but I remembered seeing the shot of Lando and Chewie in the Falcon from the trailer. So I was like, well, he's not dead.
You know, they could have sold it. I think Amy was saying this. They could have sold it better if they never showed those scenes of him getting taken aboard the First Order ship. If we just, the next time we see Chewie is when they go on the ship and maybe, like, Rey has a sense of, like, oh, Chewie.
But no, but they wouldn't have gone on the ship.
They wouldn't have gone on the ship, yeah. Or maybe she just has the sense. Like, they just shouldn't have shown the scene of him on the ship to us, the audience.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure of how that. Okay, so they showed him and then Rey sensed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a minute later. So then, like, there's like 3 minutes where we think he's dead. And then they're like, no, he's alive.
Yeah.
I can't get over how weird Chewbacca looks without his bandolier.
Naked.
Yeah. Not cool.
Like,
what's he going to do with that bandolier? Why have they got to remove it? We don't even know what those things are. It's been like 10 movies. We don't know.
I never realized, like, I never would have thought it would make that big of a difference. It makes a huge difference.
Mystery pockets.
What do we got next? Poe suggests that they travel to, what is this, Kaminji?
Kajimi.
To have the Sith text extracted from C-3PO's memory. This is done at great cost. The Force translation causes a total wipe of C-3PO's entire memory, destroying everything that he's ever been. And when they get this planet, they bump into Zori Bliss, who I am a big fan of. I guess when I said the thing about the trailers edited better, the C-3PO thing in this just... It just didn't, like, the trailer was so, like, I bald, but this was like, it's like they just didn't give it time to give it that thing. And then, like, it's this thing, he's like giving up his life for his friends, and then he goes, oh, I think I've thought of a different way, and they unplug him.
I thought that was so funny, though.
I hate that they end up undoing this.
Oh.
Like, I don't particularly like C-3PO, but to undo that emotional moment and that sacrifice, it's, I don't understand this movie.
What?
You okay, Robbo?
I don't know.
You don't like C-3PO?
I don't like him either, but he's like, I'm with Robbo. If anything happens to these characters that can live forever almost, I'd be really sad.
Nah.
I care. Like, this scene made me sad, but then they undo it, and so now I go back to not giving a shit about C-3PO. Sorry, I didn't mean to swear.
And it just undoes like that. Like, it was, I do have to say, as a Mac owner, how he got it to reboot and get the memory back in. I was like, oh, thank you. Time capsule works really well. But yeah, I thought it just cheapens it. Like,
well,
and then when you watch the film again, who cares? Like, yeah. Like, there's no emotional weight to it. He's come back.
But C-3PO has already had his memory wiped once and nobody was supposed to care. And then when he gets it happen again, you know, like, then you're supposed to care. That I get, like, I thought, like, he was going to die, and if C-3PO dies, I might be done with this series. Like,
I did find him not knowing anyone also very funny.
I thought that was really clever, the way they did it.
Yeah.
Babu Freak. And then he has a line later, like, oh, Babu Freak's one of my oldest friends.
Yeah.
That was funny.
That was great.
And I thought you could still... like, have, like, you didn't have to mourn him because he's like this new baby C-3PO, but yeah, they just, I mourn for new C-3PO. He didn't get his chance to live. Do you know what I mean? Gone too soon. New 3PO.
Did you like the joke where it was like, why would I let you do that? And then it's like a smash cut to like R2, like injecting the memories back into 3PO. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. I admit, yeah. I laughed pretty damn hard at that.
What do we get? Rey senses Chewbacca's alive and the group mounts a rescue mission using Zori Bliss's little free pass into anywhere, which is very convenient, but
it's very Star Wars.
I'm pro it, you know. It was all explained. She had her sweet disc. She'd been saving to get out of town. Go to the colonies. What are the colonies?
I don't know. They seem pretty comfortable.
That's a great question, Steele.
Ah, okay. Are they near the uncharted region, the unknown regions? Because heaps of cool stuff happens there, I've heard. With the help of Zori Bliss, an old friend of Poe's, through the Force, Kylo tells Rey that she is Palpatine's granddaughter.
This moment felt real flat when they delivered it, didn't it?
I
they're like in a hangar. It's not like really dramatic, and it was just like, yeah, you're his granddaughter. And then she's like, my ride's here, gotta go. Uber's here, gotta run.
Yeah.
Emily, Catsworthy.
Here's the thing. In Cats, I could enjoy something that was infuriatingly stupid.
This is the one thing I really am disappointed by.
The thing about the reveal is that it steps on one of the main things I enjoyed about the first two. I've got these memories of like being back at home, like back in Melbourne, and being in my kitchen, just like humming Jedi Steps, and just like dun, 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 dun. That's not Jedi Steps. That's like the Rey's theme, and just like being so into the character of Rey and what she stood for, and like, I don't know. Like, I know people love it. They love connections and stuff. And, you know, some people say that it's like, it might be like, you know, it's like a homage to, you know, I am your father. But back then, no one expected it. And now it's...
It wasn't set up.
Well, no one, like, thought everyone was related in Star Wars.
Yeah.
There was no reason to.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it didn't... But now it's like... It's like the trope of Star Wars that everyone's, like, related. And I... The air... like really got let out of the film for me with this. Hawes, you're probably the proest person here. How did you deal?
So I was not clued in on the spoilers, but I started getting a sneaky suspicion that something like this could be happening the minute Palpatine's laugh showed up in the trailer. I actually went back and listened to an episode that we did with Chris Fresh where he was like, trying to convince me that maybe Johnny Grosso was right and she was a Skywalker. And I say, I don't think she's a Skywalker, but I think there's a possibility she could be a Palpatine, because why bring him back unless you're trying to connect him to one of the new characters in some way? Mm. So I guess I was a little mentally prepared for it. And going in with that, I kind of think I caught on to some of the foreshadowing that happens, because before the reveal came, I turned to Jesse. I know I said that a lot tonight, but I talk her damn head off during these movies. And I go, I think they're about to reveal that she's related to Palpatine.
Wow. Oh my God. You tell her spoilers in the movie.
Well, I didn't know it was a spoiler. I just called it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. But because Jackie was like, going, oh, what do you hope happens in the film? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to tell you, because if they happen, they're not going to be surprised.
This was not a hope. I'm firmly in the camp of I would have been way happier if she was just a nobody. This was not I hope. This was like, I think they might be headed in this direction. Because I also remember Rey Palpatine being a theory back in the Force Awakens days. And for myself, for them to do something that on paper I wasn't a huge fan of and didn't want them to do, I feel I feel like they did at least an okay job doing that and me being like, well, okay, that's what the answer is.
Mm.
It's definitely not my favorite thing, but I won't lie. I do like the idea that if they're not going to give us the story where she's a no one and she's just as important as someone who is related to someone or not, the idea of like Palpatine's offspring rejecting the name and like not giving into that legacy, I do like that.
Yeah. All right, here's the big question. When's Sheev hooking up?
It's got to be before he got all face melted, right? Because, woof.
What?
Sheev Palpatine fucks, apparently. Oh,
I like the idea. Go ahead, Robbo.
No.
Okay, good, Robbo.
I'm wondering why there's a presumption that Palpatine cares about consent, but, okay.
That is what I was going to say. He's a horrible person.
Hmm. Good point.
He's evil. He's horrible.
What's interesting, and this is thankfully, I'm so glad they didn't do this, but apparently, do you guys remember a couple of years ago, people were talking about those unproduced Star Wars Underworld TV show scripts?
That's right.
And there was a storyline in that where Palpatine went evil because he got scorned by a woman.
Oh my god.
Oh. Did that actually,
I remember that,
was that a thing?
And I remember like that was a thing where I'm like I think that was a moment where I'm like I'm so glad Star Wars is like done because I can't.
Yeah,
was, and that was a real
like
thing.
I said, I'm glad they never. Yes. It yes, was. There was a it was like I believe like a political peer of his that like they met in the Senate or something and she betrayed him. They didn't go into a lot of detail, but just gave sort of like,
yeah,
description.
I remember hearing that and I wiped it from my mind because it was seemed so bad and now it's back.
I forgot about it till just now. Yeah.
I'm feeling better about The Rise of Skywalker.
Frick yes, Babu. Frick yes.
What's the timeline for him having this child? Because the father looks like he's maybe late 30s, early 40s in the movie, from what I remember.
Look, Ewan McGregor turns into Alec Guinness pretty damn quick. I wouldn't judge too much on appearances.
I'm just wondering, is it pre wrinkly or post wrinkly?
Well, it's got to be
post.
Post.
Well, she's. Well, so she's like 18 years old or something.
Who, Rey?
Yes.
Rey's like 20. I would say she's like 20.
Okay, let's go 20 just because it makes the math really easy.
No, but you're like, I'm like 18. No, I think she's 20. Okay.
There's a lot can happen in 2 years to mature.
Okay.
Person. 20, and it's easier for math.
Let's say, okay, 20 because it's easier for math. How old is she when her parents leave?
Five-ish. Maybe seven? Five. Like, you have to add on 2 years
no,
to every...
No, it's easier with five.
Okay, great.
Okay. So she's 20. It was 10 years after Return of the Jedi when she was born, right? So if her father or if her father is Rey or Palpatine's son and he's, we'll say, 40, he was born 30 years before... A New Hope, which would be 10 years before Revenge of the Sith. So he'd actually be born kind of around Phantom Menace time.
Hmm.
What?
Wow.
What?
And he was spending all his time with Anakin instead of looking after him or her. Did they establish if it's the son or the daughter that's related? Or they never mention that?
I thought it was the son, but maybe that was just
no,
my...
they say son.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they did? I didn't notice
I'm
that.
Sure they did.
Kylo says, like, my mother was a Skywalker, your father was a Palpatine, or something like that.
Ah. Oh, yeah, okay. That sort of fits in. This isn't in the thing, but when Luke and Leia have the flashback?
Oh, that was when Lucas is talking to Rey on when she's back on Octo for like about 2.5 minutes of her life.
So the only reason they went back was to get the X-Wing, yeah. In story, like, as far
No, in story, the reason why they went back was to establish that Rey wanted no part of what was going to happen.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, it's... I don't want to get all Robbo on this one. But, like, Luke did use the wing of the X-Wing for his door.
He did indeed.
And I'm still not convinced that that X-Wing you see in the water in The Last Jedi isn't one of the new style X-Wings.
It is. Originally it was.
Yeah, it was a blue one, yeah.
Right, so they completely changed the style. Unless, for some reason, and this is ridiculous,
Luke has down there.
Two... Yeah, yeah, he was like, let's take two. Hey. Well, I guess he needed something to carry all his stuff in.
Did he, like, tie one to the back of the one he was flying?
Yeah, it's like when you see a car hauling another car on the highway.
Oh! Speaking of that, I loved the three TIE fighters towing the Millennium Falcon for some weird reason. I was just like, ah, that's cool. They're towing it.
They don't have tractor beams, Steel. What else are they going to do?
I know, I thought it was sick. I just liked it. Cool. It's like...
Oh, it's, what did people...
Sorry, am I?
No, I was going to say, going back to the Millennium Falcon toying, like, what did people think of the Hux being the spy thing?
I knew for sure the Hux was going to turn on Kylo Ren because Last Jedi told us he would.
Yeah, I was hoping it would be in a like more he was actually going to be in the movie sort of way, but it still made me laugh.
I liked it. I know some people really don't like it, but I like that he was like politically, like he was going to just help him fail, so then he could take over or get killed and stuff. I liked his motivation in it.
Yeah,
and they did like really. Like with the camera angles and stuff, I'm sure like when you watch it again, it won't be, but I thought Pride was like,
yeah,
they had a lot of him thinking.
There's that shot where like his eyes are illuminated on a close up, but everything else is in shadow. Like he's like very sneaky.
And it's very hard after following him on social media. It's hard to imagine he'd have an evil bone in his body.
Would he just, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I like the part with Hux early on when Kylo shows up to the fan club meeting with the helmet. And he's like, I sense some hesitation from you, Hux. And like Hux is freaked out that he's wearing the mask again. I liked that part.
Yeah.
I did too.
I liked it. It was when the other lady said, I think it looks really good or something like that. I was like, oh, you're on the fence, but I'm having a good time. But The thing with the mask and Hux, I thought was that was pretty sweet. Palpatine. Oh, sorry. So through the Force, Kylo tells Rey that she is a Palpatine's granddaughter. Palpatine had ordered her death as a child, fearing her power, which doesn't seem like a Palpatine thing to do. Wait,
but he didn't really. That's what Kylo tells her. And then remember, they're like, he didn't want her dead. He wanted her alive.
Gotcha.
I forget how they find that out in the movie.
The droid, yeah. Okay. Rey recovers the dagger and has visions of the assassin using it to kill her parents. Again, best dagger in the universe, does everything. General Hux discovers the group and reveals himself to be the spy. He allows them escape on the Falcon, but is executed for treason. Love the execution.
That was great.
Me too. That was so cool.
And love Richard E. Grant.
And the Star Destroyer destroys... How do you say that one?
Kijimi.
Using a super laser cannon. Now, for all this, like, you know, bring back the EU, this film, it's so EU. Like, with the Star Destroyers of all the lasers and these cloning of Palpatine, like, it definitely feels like a lot of this stuff has made its way into it. The group follow the coordinates to Kef Beer with a wayfinder device revealing Palpatine's location. Wait, the group follows the coordinates of Kef Beer with the wayfinder device revealing Oh, and a wayfinder device. Oh, I see. So Kif Beer is the planet next to Endor.
How do they know they have to go to Kef Beer again? I don't remember.
Because the dagger gives them the specific coordinates.
Oh, the dagger says it was something. Oh, you're right.
They know that it's, yeah, they know that they have to go to get the Death Star wreckage.
Yeah.
How do they know the dagger knows anything?
Because they translate it. That's why they have to hack C-3PO. Because he has the message in his brain, and then he tells them, and the message,
gotcha.
If I remember correctly, okay, says to go to that planet.
All right.
Yeah, he goes, I know exactly where the wayfinder is. I just can't tell you. Because it was on that knife.
Yeah, okay.
So they get there.
Okay, so yeah, she pulls out that thing and finds the corner of the Death Star. Kylo, having tracked the group to Kif Beer, destroys the wayfinder and duels Rey. I know Jackie really liked this bit just for the waves. It was the effects were like when you compare the reality of watching this in the waves to the lightsaber battle in Revenge of the Sith on the lava. I found this very, like, how the effects have evolved is pretty impressive. Because in Revenge of the Sith, I sort of felt like I was watching a cartoon.
Because you were, but also, like, it's like that was 20 minutes long and this was like 3 minutes long. Big difference.
Gotcha. But good jumps, good wave,
great. I love the
leaping. And we didn't talk about when they were in this Wikipedia thing is not very fleshed out, but they save, or Rey saves the little underground snake, which
sets up the force healing.
Yeah, but did anyone? I'm just interested how people took that. Did anyone think, or did anyone not think that she was going to do that again in the film? Or is that me just overthinking it on first watch?
No, I thought we would. I thought it was setting it up for we are going to see this again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like when I saw it at first, I wasn't like sure she was going to use it on Kylo. I wondered, but I also wondered if it would be used on one of her friends like Rey or Poe or Finn or Poe or something.
Yeah, I had I was like, Kylo's getting healed. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize.
Yeah, that was another spoiler, by the way.
The
spoiler of Rey like healing a snake underground is like something I was aware of, and when I heard about that, I was like, "Oh, that means Kyle's going to live."
We also didn't talk about the dark side vision.
Oh, what was the dark side vision?
The dark gray.
Ah,
that I thought was pretty cool because that happens right before the fight because she kind of comes out of that room and Kylo's waiting for her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's sort of all a blur to me.
That whole scene, the dark ray, is literally maybe all 30 seconds.
Yeah. I want to go see it at like 11 in the morning
when you're fully alert.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
I can really.
Got some chicken tendies.
No more chicken tendies.
No chicken tendies.
Nah. I think they were fine, but I was sick and now they're tarnished. I had chicken tenders, guys. Where are we at here? A dying Leia. Rey's dagger. Jules Rey. A dying Leia calls to Kylo through the Force, but Rey impales him. Sensing Leia's death, Rey heals Kylo and takes his ship to exile herself in Akto, shaken by her Sith lineage. So, is this saying that Rey healed Kylo because of Leia's death?
I think she felt, my reading of it was, she felt immediate regret for having killed him because he was hesitating, and they could both sense Leia, and then sense Leia had died. And I think on top of that, she was so sensitive to how, like, she was so scared of succumbing to the dark side the whole time, and she's scared of her power, and she has this vision of herself in the dark side, and then learns she's a Palpatine, and she straight up murders this guy in the heat of the moment. And I think as soon as all that hits and then she feels Leia's passing, it's just immediate regret, like, I should not have done this. And it scares
me. I agree.
So when Han Solo comes, is that before or after Leia's dead?
That's after.
Okay, because someone said it was Leia doing that, and I was like, oh, that's really cool.
I don't think so.
But,
I
heard, no.
Yeah, okay.
I think Haas, on your podcast, if I'm remembering correctly, somebody said it was like, kind of like how in the Dark Side cave, the Dark Side conjures a vision of, like, Luke in the Vader costume or Dark Side Rey, well, and that this was, like, the light side flip of the coin of this.
Well, I thought it was more the light side flip, a similar thing, yeah. But so I kind of assumed when you see Dark Side Rey, that is, like, when you see Sith Rey and they fight for a second, that's the dark side personified, like trying right. to turn dark side. And I thought the Han Solo thing, if that's the case, the Han Solo thing is the flip. It's the light side personified coming to Kylo and being like trying to help him along the path.
I think that's the truth. I think that's what it is.
Excellent. Excellent idea, Haas.
Now, one of the catchphrases that we love is if it's done right. And on paper, Han Solo coming in a vision to Kylo Ren sounds pretty iffy. But maybe it's good if it's done right. I thought it was done extremely well. It is telling that that was one of the best scripted scenes of the movie, because Harrison Ford does have a habit for Or just going, no, we're going to change this. Because I thought how it's really made clear that it's not his ghost was like super well done. So in my Harrison Ford, you know, fan theories is that he says like, yeah, we got to explain this a little better.
Were you gone at that point last night?
Yeah, I'd gone by then.
Jackie's reaction was priceless.
Ah, I bet.
She literally, like, when he came on screen, was like, and then just kept sinking lower and lower and lower into her chair, into shock as the scene went on. It was amazing.
How did you go with Harrison's return?
I mean, it's hard because, like, I love Harrison Ford and I love Han Solo so much, but this is one of the things where, like, I wanted to be feeling so much more than I was.
Mm. I think maybe a hard, like, the thing about the film is it opens with the line, the dead speak. And they all speak. All the dead speak. Like, even C-3PO is he's back from the dead. He's speaking as well. But there is, like, there's a lot of, you know, these... I think my least favorite thing in Star Wars is people coming back from the dead. Like
Darth Maul.
Oh, killing me. Yeah, I always like you know, you got Force ghosts. But I that said, I loved it.
I'm surprised that I liked it as much as I did. That was awesome.
I thought it was a true if it's done well moment. What did you think, Skeletor?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Steele, I thought that it was the perfect end to like a episode 9 that was going to be followed by an episode 10. But
oh my god,
you don't care about that, so you can do.
Look at Rashad. Look how beaten down he is.
It's not an invalid point, but the point has been made.
It has. I think it has been made. I think.
If it's my only point, what can I do?
What can you do? Okay, goes to Acto. Luke's Force spirit appears and encourages Rey to face Palpatine as he faced Darth Vader, giving her Leia's saber and not his old X-Wing. Well, it is his old X-Wing, but see, this is, I guess, the worst of J. Abrams is that, like, it's set that it's the blue X-Wing.
No,
we do. There's a picture of it.
Oh, there is.
It's in the water. Because I remember when...
Who cares?
I remember
to see Red 5 again. I'm fine.
Okay, so that's the... Like, I don't...
It didn't bother me at all.
Do cool stuff that fits within the established story. And, like, you can just have the X-Wing coming out. And if like, you're such a, like, original trilogy, like, zealot that you're like, oh, it wasn't the, you know.
No, but my point is, like, it meant something to me that it was Red 5. If it was just some dinky New Republic X-Wing, I wouldn't have given a shit. Oh, did it again, sorry. I wouldn't have cared. It would have been a cool scene to see him take it out of the water. But then for her flying around Red 5 and then for the messaging in the later scenes, we're like, we're getting a message from Red 5. Whatever. I thought that was cool. It didn't bother me that the continuity in this wasn't there. And I know I'm being selective and maybe hypocritical, but it is what it is.
Rey leaves for Exegol using the Wayfinder on Kylo's ship. On Kif Bir... Kylo converses with a vision of his father, Han Solo, and throws away his lightsaber, reclaiming his identity as Ben Solo. That was dope.
Yeah.
Loved the lightsaber throwing away. And then he loosens his top and just becomes Adam Driver.
Just rocks the Under Armour long sleeve.
Back on the Resistance planet, the group returns and hears of the death of Leia. Both Finn and Poe...
Chewie's reaction. I was a wreck.
That's well, when I cried.
Yeah.
Chewie's reaction is like the only part of it that hit me. Which one? Because like when we first see Leia in the movie, instant tears. Because that's what happens now when I see Carrie Fisher. But like the scene when she dies, I'm just sitting there going like, why am I not like losing it right now? And it wasn't until Chewbacca does his thing where I'm like, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
Sorry,
go, Horse.
I was just going to say, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just relief on finally seeing the movie and finding myself enjoying it as it went along. But my cousin texted me as I was coming out of the theater and she's like, do you have a hot take on Rise of Skywalker? And I texted her and I was like, I feel like I cried 40 times, yeah. 40 different times. Like that first viewing. And to the point, like there are certain moments that will never get that reaction from me again. Like the Chewbacca fake out. That's like a one time only. I'll never fall for that again. So it feels hollow. I imagine because I haven't had a chance to see it again yet. That will feel hollow on future viewings. But yeah, the Chewie one was the worst by far. His reaction.
I guess with the how you didn't feel it as much, I think you got to consider they didn't have really much to work with.
Here's the thing, though, is
you don't actually really see it.
The thing is, like, and I feel like this thing, like some of that footage is so, like, weirdly done and obviously edited and stuff, but the thing is, like, they know, like, it's not like she died halfway through filming. Like, they knew what the limitations were and still wrote this movie the way they did. So some of that stuff, when they're obviously just talking to some, like Leia's back and you like this very like stilted cut together lines and stuff. I mean, you like, yeah, they had very little to work with, but I think then maybe they should have written things differently.
Mm. What did you guys think of the flashback to the lightsaber training?
Yeah, this is a weird thing where I want, you're talking about Leia's, right?
Yeah, Leia and Luke, yeah.
Like, I like the idea that, yes, like all these confirmations of Leia being force sensitive and all that stuff that we knew, but that a certain portion of fandom like freaked out about in the last movie. And so it's nice to have to be like, no, this has always been there. I don't know, like the fact that she went all this way through the entire training and then had a vision about her future son, so gave it up, I didn't quite get.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really think. They just said it, and I went, oh, okay.
Yeah,
but
kept going.
I just wish they showed their. I know the effects and that, but I just. The fact that you didn't know it was them, I didn't know it was Luke because he had that weird. I thought it was like an alien, and then it sort of reveals to be him. I was like, oh, I wish. Like, I didn't get to enjoy it when they were lightsaber training. Like, it wasn't until they stopped that I was like, ah, that's Luke.
Yeah.
So, ignite the green, guys. Come on.
Technically happened.
Technically. Always the flashback, never the present. It's just not right. Dun, dun, dun. During this, both Finn and Poe become joint generals of the Resistance. During this, R2-D2 restores 3PO's memory from old backup in his storage.
Great scene.
The army find out that Rey is going to Exegol and leaving behind a trail for them to follow. I'll mention that later on. Rey arrives on Exegol and transmits her location to the Resistance. She confronts Palpatine, who demands that she kill him to transfer his spirit into Rey. The Resistance engages in battle with Palpatine's fleet. Ben overpowers the Knights of Ren and arrives to help Rey. So the Knights of Ren... are they just Palpatine's gang in the end, or like, because I always thought it was like they were with Kylo, yeah. And they sort of just turn on Ben for no direct reason, unless, I guess they're force sensitive because they know he is good. I just didn't get why they instantly went for him.
Yeah, I didn't get that either.
Okay.
I mean, he's now an enemy.
Yeah, but
how do they know that?
Because Palpatine knows that. So
Palpatine does. They do establish that Palpatine knows because they have that whole thing between Palpatine and Pride where he's like, "Kylo's gone rogue. I'm putting you in charge." Blah blah blah.
Okay.
My question with the Kylo Ren and Knights of Ren thing is: do you think that's what it was like when Justin Timberlake quit NSYNC? I haven't heard from the rest of those dudes in forever. Who knows what Chris Kirkpatrick is up to?
I can't believe you can name any of the others.
Yeah, Joey Fatone. Lance Bass.
And I can't take credit for that idea because Jesse, during the movie, was like, they're like a boy band, kind of.
An angry boy brand. Angry boy brand.
I have an... Okay, we'll maybe get to it. It's a very small question.
Okay. Awaken Rey, his voices of past Jedi lending their strength, which was exciting and confusing as I desperately tried to listen.
Skips over a big chunk of this whole fight.
Yeah, well, there you go. What would you like to add?
Kylo returns, helps, gets pushed down a hole. The entire galaxy arrives in a fleet. That's also kind of a big thing that happens. And then he force EMPs everybody.
Oh, yeah, it does leave out a fair bit, actually. that's Wikipedia for you. But
Palpatine attacks her with lightning, but Rey deflects it using two lightsabers, killing him. But for how long? That was, I was sort of like, with his death, how does he not just come back? Like, what happens if he's got another base in the more unknown regions? The unknowingest of all the regions. But Ben sacrificed himself using the Force to resurrect her. The two kiss before Ben fades away and becomes one with the Force. When he disappeared, I was feeling it.
I thought the effect was pretty bad, though. Something about it looked weird.
Oh, really?
I
liked it.
What do you guys think about the whole Leia not disappearing until Ben disappears? Because I have my own personal theory about it.
I have no idea, actually. I don't dislike it. I just don't know why it happened that way.
I think Leia is waiting to become one with the Force until Ben dies so she can help bring him over. Kind of like the story is that Anakin is able to become a Force ghost because Obi-Wan and Yoda.
Like, her soul can't rest until she knows her son is like...
She's waiting. Like, I think she's waiting to become... Yeah, yeah. Huh. Something like that.
Well, that is very cool. I don't know. Here we go. Sorry. Go, Emily.
No, I was just going to ask if this Wikipedia like ignores everything else that's going on at the same time, but maybe they just have it separate.
Yeah, well, they just have this. Lando leads the resistance, now backed by reinforcements, to destroy the remainder of Palpatine's armada.
Okay, we need to pause for just 1 second because this question is real dumb and I don't know if it can be answered.
Oh, boy.
Why is Poe flying with R2 and not BB-8? And where is BB-8?
I was annoyed.
It didn't bother me, but I just kept thinking, wait, did I forget where BB-8 is? Where is he doing? What is he doing? Is he doing something important that I don't
know? He's on the ground with Finn and... Or not.
Oh, yeah, he's rolling with the horses.
Okay. Yeah.
Rolling with the horses.
Yeah, dude.
Because Finn is like, you're doing great, BB-8. Right, keep going. Right.
Okay.
But then, like, does Poe and R2-D2 have a... they don't really have a moment or anything to... Like, enjoy the fact that R2-D2's there. Does he, or am I... I've only seen this bit of the film once.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I do like that whole scene where they're on the Star Destroyer fighting, and then they end up hacking, like, the turret, whatever that was.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. Yeah. I just wish they hadn't shown that, like...
Yeah, the whole reveal of all the entire...
Yeah, because like, the whole time I'm just like, well, they're coming.
Because the thing that's so cool about that is the reveal, and then it sort of like the rest of that battle didn't do much for me. Like the part on the Star Destroyer did, but the space parts didn't. But that reveal is so good;
yeah,
it would have been so cool to just see it for the first time. Then,
could you imagine the pop? Like that was the as they say the end game moment.
And I liked that I guess we're calling them the Final Order. They're like, who are they? And they're like, they're just people. I do really like that.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was just like the galaxy rallied. It was like anybody with a ship and a gun just show up.
Could have done without that name, though.
People?
No, the Final Order.
Yeah.
Me and Horace, was I talking about this to you today about, so the Star Destroyers had no one in them?
I think a large amount of them had, I mean, just logistically had to be unmanned.
Really?
Right? I got the impression that when Palpatine talks to General Pride, he's like, I need you to take everybody you have left and man these Star Destroyers. And I don't think there was enough people, unless they were filled with more weird Sith cult guys in black hoods, but that was never established if they were, right? Well, like,
okay, this may be really dumb. When you're Palpatine is giving his big scary, I'm Palpatine and I'm evil speech, and there's all the guys in the audience, what are they spirits?
No,
I so
because they don't actually, they disappear.
Well, no, they get, you see some of them getting crushed by the rubble and stuff when Palpatine explodes and like it sends out the shockwave. A little detail that is in the visual dictionary that should have been in the movie, in my opinion, is that those Sith cultists have been infiltrating everywhere. Like, there's Sith cultists that are in the Senate. There are Sith cultists that are in the Resistance. Like, they have been slowly infiltrating all kinds of different areas.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Seems like a and that could have been in a movie.
And they kind of imply, yeah, they kind of imply in the visual dictionary that the Sith cultists are kind of what kept the New Republic from being as successful as it could be. Because, like, in Bloodline, they establish, like, that the New Republic is just constantly infighting and things, and they don't really get anything done.
So it's like they're undermining the New Republic.
Yeah, from the inside.
Interesting.
I thought that what Palpatine was saying is like, all the Sith live within me. I thought that he was like saying that those are all like the ghosts of all the former Sith people.
I don't think so. I think those were just supposed to be regular folks. Because like I said, you do see some of them getting crushed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought they were just like cultists that were also partially responsible for bringing them back.
Pretty damn lazy cultist, then.
Oh, man. Do you ever try to bring back an evil space Hitler? Seems like a lot
all
of work.
The time.
No. As a matter of fact, I haven't. But if that were my goal, I would probably get out of my damn chair to do it.
Hey, one thing I was wondering, and this is not, it's not about the movie, but more about the reaction to it, because I've had a couple things muted still on Twitter, is with all the flack that Force Awakens got for Starkiller Base and, oh, it's another Death Star. Did people have a problem with the planet destroying?
Oh, I've had some people.
I haven't seen the sort of reaction to it that I saw to Starkiller Base, and I was just curious.
I mean, that's kind of the least of this movie's problems,
yeah.
Really.
I mean, I rolled my eyes and I moved on. That's about it.
Robo, didn't you say you liked this movie?
I did. I said I thought, like, in terms of, like, how well it was done, it was pretty poor. But in terms of how happy it made me,
yeah,
made me really happy. Yeah. And I don't really know how to explain that. And maybe this isn't the right space to do it in. I don't know. Like, I just felt like it was... I guess I was just expecting to be let down, and I kind of was, but I wasn't let down as far as I thought I would be.
Like, I know what you're saying, Robbo, because if you stop to think about a lot of this stuff, like we've done tonight, most of this movie doesn't add up. The math doesn't check out, but I just know how I felt leaving the theater each time, and I felt like I had a lot of fun, and I enjoyed my time, and... That's just kind of two things I live with. It's Star Wars. Maybe I'm being easy on it. I don't know. But
look,
it was fun. I had a really good time.
Yeah, we've all lived through much worse Star Wars movies than this.
Yes.
Much worse.
Absolutely.
Exponentially worse.
The weirdest reaction I've seen is the people that are mad that a Palpatine survived and a Skywalker didn't. Even though she takes the name Skywalker, they're like, how dare you kill off the last Skywalker and leave a Palpatine alive, but she's got the name Skywalker now.
I kind of feel like that's just finding another reason to be angry that Ben Solo died.
I agree.
Yeah.
I guess, but I think that the other part of it is, like, they did have to have Hayden Christensen show up to say, restore balance the way I did. You know, the balance that lasted for like 15 to 20 years or something. Do that.
With the Skeletor face, it's perfect. That voice.
So, in conclusion, as the galaxy celebrates. Now,
Ewoks.
Emily, you must have been shocked to learn that there was Ewoks in this movie.
Dude, I was waiting this entire movie. Because of you, I was waiting this entire movie to see an Ewok.
It seems like a fever dream seeing Wicket again. I was like,
that was Wicket?
Yeah, man.
What?
100%.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was,
how are you
that
supposed
was
to
Wicket?
Know that?
Because it's Wicket.
Because it's Wicket.
And he's got the same outfit.
Is he really? I'm going to pay attention.
Yeah, and he's just
tomorrow.
A little grayer. He's got a little of this going on.
It's like saying, how do you know Ray is Ray? Because she's Ray. You okay. See her and you go,
no,
oh, that's Ray.
No.
How do you know Skeletor is Skeletor? Is that Beastman? No, it's Skeletor.
Hey, Robbo, not all of us think that all Ewoks look alike.
Oh, yes.
Look, rude. If that's what's going to be, yeah, okay.
I mean, I don't know.
That's how I am.
I
all right.
I'm going to pay attention to
hey,
that tomorrow.
Hey, don't forget the really sweet and super, super like visible queer representation that JJ was talking about that we got.
Oh,
that was great.
I'm sorry. I blinked for at least once in this movie, and therefore I might not have seen
Someone said, who's that guy that works on the Millennium Falcon? Like, he's a big
Claude?
Creature, yeah.
Clog? Yeah. Claude.
Yeah, someone said that him getting hugged, there's more, that takes more up more time, than the kiss.
That's real disappointing.
Though, let me just say this. Like, I do think that is better than what happened in Avengers Endgame, where they're like, hey, look what we did. And it was like, you mentioned the fact that this guy had a sort of boyfriend, this guy who we've never seen before, where at least they chose a character who showed up and had multiple lines in previous movies.
It was cool that it was her. I don't think they should be getting an award for it, but like,
no.
It's better than not doing it.
You know what? I think if JJ had just like kept his mouth shut and not be like, oh, I think it's really important that LGBT people finally feel like they're represented on screen. Like, if I hadn't read that, I mean, I still would have been disappointed that Finn Poe didn't happen, but I wouldn't have been like enraged in the way that I was, because it feels like he's patting himself on the back for doing basically literally nothing.
Emily, what if it were Jonna? What if at the end of the movie, Jonna had another member of her like crew?
I mean, it's still like, it's a nice moment. Like, it's cool that it's there, but like, she's barely like, we don't know her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not to mention,
I see.
They're not showing a relationship.
If they had showed a relationship with Jonna and somebody else throughout the movie, that's representation.
I guess
like Syngia. Is that his name?
Yeah,
Syngia.
What?
Well, they follow. It talks about his relationship all the time.
I think they show him, or they talk. I don't remember, but he talks about his boyfriend or his former.
What is it?
And then they get reunited.
Right. I, it's been so long since I read
yeah.
those books, I don't remember exactly.
It's in the movie?
It's in the
no,
Aftermath
books.
Books.
Oh.
You know, the books that don't matter, Robert.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I've got a question about those books, actually. But anyway, I'll conclude the movie. Ray visits the moisture farm on Tatooine, where Luke and the Lars family once lived. Now, this bit, I'm just in flavor country. Like,
flavor town, you mean?
The flavor country. The sand, how it's all filtered up, and I was, do you know what I mean? Like, it was pandering
to you.
Yes. Well, not to many people, but I was very happy with this panda. Where Luke and Lars' family once lived, where she buries the Skywalker lightsabers. Now, I've only seen this once. Did the sand open up and
she used the force to open?
Yeah.
Oh. She
didn't, I don't think the movie showed the sand opening up. I think it just showed the bundle of lightsabers sinking.
It opens up enough that it goes down and then gets buried.
Oh, because that's, I think I was so stuck. Like,
oh, yeah. I was like, I was in tears the moment we were back on Tatooine because I knew exactly what was about to happen. I was in tears the entire scene.
Then Barry Skywalker lightsabers, having built her own with a gold blade, a local asks her name. as the spirits of Luke and Leia look on in approval, and she replies, "Rey Skywalker."
Well, she replies, "Rey," and then from the other woman's perspective, there's an incredibly long pause.
She looks off into nothing.
Emily, do not spoil my favorite bit of the movie.
I'm sorry, I love the word, but it's like, honestly, like, I hate that my brain does that, but it was what I was thinking.
I believe known scientifically as the Robbo center of the brain.
Ah, God. When the pause just gave me enough time to go, just like, I was like, say it, say it, say it. And then when she said it, I did stand and go, yes.
Yeah, he did. And then immediately just wept into my hands. It was so good. That's the only scene in the movie I cried both viewings. It's the only scene I cried in the second viewing still.
Oh, okay.
And then directed by J.J. Abrams. End credits.
I mean, I'm happy with the twin son's final shot. I mean, that's the final shot that I've wanted of this trilogy, I think, since The Force Awakens. So, yeah, that was good.
I would have loved if... Like, I the whole scene is great, but when Luke and Leia appeared, turn on all the Force ghosts.
Give them, no!
Yeah,
no!
All
no!
of them. I wanted, because Luke says to her that 1,000 generations of Jedi are with her, and at the start of the film, she's getting no Jedi. She's trying to, like, get some, and she's got a... How she was sitting up at the start of the film with the rocks going around.
Very cool.
Very good. Very good. I would have liked for Kylo to appear, and then Yoda, then Mace Windu, then Qui-Gon Jinn, then like prequel Jedi, and then...
Those were prequel Jedi.
Shut up, Robbo. Killing me.
I have the opinion what you're describing would have worked better during the Palpatine fight when she's talking to them and you hear them. Maybe she stands up and they're behind her as she approaches.
And then, I just would have loved the visual of the desolate Tatooine desert being filled with like the 1,000 generations of Jedi.
It's a nice concept.
Would have
been- I think I'm with Steel in part, but I wanted Kylo or Ben and Anakin is there. Like if those two had been there with Luke and Leia, because she's taking the name Skywalker, it would have been neat for the rest of the, or the, you know, the Skywalker Force ghosts to be looking on her, like over her when she declares that. I don't, because you specifically make Kylo disappear and that sort of denotes that he can then become a Force ghost, and we've already gotten Force Ghost Anakin. I don't see why they didn't do that.
Yeah.
I definitely would heavily pitch for four of them, you know, to have all the Skywalkers there and, I, you know, and maybe, you know, for the Ben Solo fans, that would have been some solace for them that, you know, he's like happy in the afterlife with his family and stuff.
It wouldn't have been enough. What they wanted was something very, very different, and I did not know the extent of what they wanted until I saw the depths of their hatred for this movie.
Yeah, the whole...
That's an entirely different episode, though.
Yeah, the whole podcast. Spoiling the film because you don't like the ending that you heard about is...
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about people who, as soon as they saw the movie, like... had Last Jedi-esque reactions to it in terms of like their immediate throwing all of Lucasfilm under the bus, accusing them of misogyny. That broke my heart because, as you'll recall, Steele, like I really wanted to give those very same people the benefit of the doubt. And I was wrong.
It's a bummer. I said something very similar to Steele. I said, this has been maybe going back a year or so. I said to Steele, like, I just hope for people like us that like The Last Jedi. And when I say us, I mean, not just everybody here, but like in general, right? Mm-hmm. If they don't get exactly what they want out of episode 9. They remember how they told everybody that didn't like The Last Jedi, well, like, you went in with the wrong expectations. That's not what the story turned out to be, right? Which is a sentiment I agree with. And mm-hmm. I feel like all of us in our views on this movie are being very level-headed. We're not being these kind of people. But I said to Steele, like, I'm afraid that there are certain people that aren't going to be able to do that. And I'm bummed that I was correct, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I thought that as well. And I'm always happy when I'm correct. But I'm sad about the situation. But I knew it was going to happen because I just felt it with, like, when I interviewed Daisy Ridley and she didn't say what, in effect, I kind of think she was lying, but about how she, you know, doesn't get behind Reylo, and she said abusive, you know, because she finds it abusive. But, like people were furious at me because that generated that answer, and it's like, well, it's the film's made. Like, well, this interview is not changing anything.
All you did was ask the question.
Also the most, like, one of the most topical questions that then got asked 8,000 times afterwards. But,
well, I also, and this is maybe a little like conspiracy theory thinking, but in April, like, I think this movie might have been in a not completely, but in a much different state that it ended up being, because they did do some like super secret additional shooting at the Red Bad Robot offices, mm-hmm. like just a couple months ago. So for all we know, like, maybe Daisy Ridley didn't even know the kiss was part of it. Oh. Like, maybe she thought Kylo gets yeeted into the hole and that's it, you know?
I think they pulled the Empire Strikes Back and did everything they could think of because they didn't want any actor to be able to spoil it. So, and that could have been because they hadn't decided yet, but it could also be because they had decided and they didn't want anybody to spoil it. They didn't want to give anybody the capacity to spoil it, because remember, if they do, Disney's lawyers have to sue them. And they probably didn't want that to happen. So, like, there's all that stuff going on. But, like, I honestly think that it really was that they filmed every possible thing. And in the end, they were like, well, we'll just figure out what's right. We'll figure out what feels right. And they probably believed that if we do everything, then surely we'll end up with an end product that works. And what they found out was that you can't do it that way. You have to write a story and stick with it. And the reason why my feelings about it are more perhaps positive than most people anticipated, and I'm very freaked out that people emailed not me, but Steele to say what they thought I would think about the movie. The one person who didn't do that, by the way, he's a king among toms. King Tom.
He just
went out and straight up asked me.
I did get some messages from patrons that were like, oh, what's Robbo think? He's going to explode, isn't he?
Just ask me. But I do think the only reason why I was able to enjoy it the way I did was because I knew all the stuff I didn't like in advance.
Interesting. I have to say that after going through it, and I don't know if this is going to be surprising with my tone, but I like it more now. Because I'm now remembering all the parts that I was just like, oh, that was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah. But the reveal is a lot of salt for me.
Yeah.
Because it messes with what I enjoyed for the past 4 years.
It does.
Oh my god, when she bum slides down, like, as a callback to The Force Awakens,
that was the point where I was like, JJ Abrams, all right, man, all right, You got me.
The bum slide.
That's right.
It did it for me. How about you guys? How about you, Rashad? Are you, after going through it, are you more pro or con?
I'm more pro. Like I said before, the second time, just like you said, like Robbo said, like knowing the stuff you don't like going into it makes the rest of it, I think, enjoyable. I'm seeing it tomorrow at 10 a.m. for the third time. I'm really looking forward to it.
I do like that complaining about a film for 2.5 hours makes me like it more. But that's Star Wars fandom. Hawes, I did feel for you a little bit that you enjoyed it, and I don't know if we railed on it too much or not, but
buddy, that's the thing. Like, if you got, like, you guys are all my friends, and like, I'm not gonna be the jackass that holds it against anybody because they don't like something, and I haven't heard one thing that anybody brought up against the movie that I feel is invalid, you know? Yeah. Like, my biggest disappointment with the movie is the sidelining of Rose. I didn't really get a chance to jump in on that part, but I do feel like that was my biggest disappointment.
Why were you more disappointed? Because you were expecting it, or were you more disappointed, Hawes, because you of some other reason?
I was disappointed, I think, for two reasons, because I didn't expect it. I thought she was going to be in the movie more. And secondly, I just don't want it to be because of Jerks, as a reaction to Jerks.
Oh,
because
damn.
I like her so much in The Last Jedi, and I like Kelly Marie Tran so much that I think she deserves more than that. And I don't want Star Wars to be in the position where it listens to people that don't really love Star Wars, that don't get Star Wars. Because if you're the kind of person that's going to harass Kelly Marie Tran off of social media, you don't get Star Wars.
Yeah, that's the scariest part, because when I haven't talked about this yet, but like, as soon as I got back from watching this movie, I recorded my thoughts about it. Because before I'd read any reviews, before I'd looked at Twitter, before I'd done anything, before I'd listened to the soundtrack again, because I just wanted to have my ideas about it out there, because I had like a basically positive feeling. But one of the reasons why I didn't want to know anything is because I had this kind of it hurts that. I don't know. I feel like, as like an ordinary kind of person, like, that's why I identify with Rose and why I like Kelly Marie, is because I felt like she was there to kind of rep the ordinary people, and Finn too, in a sense. But like, that's an excellent point. Is it just, it's weird. It's weird that she's not there.
And it's weird because, like, I went back and listened to the reaction shows on Blue Harvest for Force Awakens Last Jedi this morning, just to see, like, what it was like back then. And, like, during Last Jedi's reaction, I was like, in a weird way, Rose was one of the characters I sort of identified with the most from the outside, because she thinks hanging out with the heroes of the Resistance is super cool. I would do that. She's worried about taking care of the animals on Canto Bight. That would be me. I would feel for the Fathiers and stuff. And I don't know. It, like, she's disappointed when her heroes let her down. Like, when she finds out that Finn isn't exactly who she initially thinks he is and stuff. So it was a bummer to me, I won't lie. And I think, besides that, like, the Leia stuff is also going to be really hard for me to get used to. I told a couple people when I was talking to them, that's my biggest barrier for rewatching this. Is it going to take a long time for me to get used to it? Because it seems like you can almost see the seams where they inserted these things and wrote around them, you know?
Yeah, it does seem, I don't know, in retrospect, it might, you know, they relied on it way too much. But I always
it's not a pleasant situation.
It's not. And I don't know how I would have handled it if I was in charge of such a thing. It's such a lose-lose situation.
I guess that's maybe in a weird way one of the reasons why I came out of this one feeling strangely good and not understanding why, is because it kind of wasn't as good as it probably should have been. Because in a sense, like, what it always has attracted me to Star Wars is the stuff that isn't on screen. It's the stuff that is hinted at, and it makes me like want to say, oh, I want to know what that person's doing. I want to know what that planet's like. I want to know what those creatures do when the camera's not on. And this movie had so much stuff happening in it. It was almost all missed opportunities. And in a sense, I was just kind of like, I just want to go to every one of these planets. I want to meet every one of these people. And it's weird because that's like saying, like, it's great because it sucks. And that's not really what I mean to say, but it's, I guess it's because, like, it's a bigger thing to me in the end than just a series of movies. And when I look at it, I'm like, I'm glad that, you know, like, it's if I were telling a story, I would want some of these characters to just straight up die because it'd be more emotional, it'd be more impactful. But at the same time, I don't think anyone's really even mentioned this about with the exception of Adam Driver, Ben Solo, pretty much everybody survives and they can go on and have their own stories and their stories can continue. And it's not necessarily too late for Rose Tico to have an entire series of stories. Maybe.
Yeah, I would not be holding my breath at this point.
Just let me have it for now.
Emily, what are your final thoughts, buddy?
I'm revising my score to a 3. like I said before, there is stuff I really like here. I love. I like Baba Freak. I like Dio. I like Zori Bliss, although I resent that it seems that LaGarge reason she was brought in was to have Poe flirt with a woman. I think there's some cool battles, but oh, Chewie getting his medal made me cry.
Oh, that was dope.
Oh, that was fantastic, but the problems that I have with this movie aren't just the messy storytelling, which I think I could kind of accept and I can deal with some bad pacing, but I mean that the Rey Palpatine thing is it's a reversal on everything that I've liked about what these movies were telling before, and that's a red line for me. I'm not going to get past that, and it's annoying me because I don't even I don't know how to go back to those other two movies now.
Yeah, I see your point. I don't know. I'm sort of like, I go through and I see the scenes. I'm like, oh, I like that scene. I like that scene. I like that scene. But yeah, the Palpatine thing is just.
Yeah.
What did it do in the end? What did it do?
The frustrating thing about it is like, you can write the exact same movie without that. That she's just like the super powerful. She's like the force, the good side of the force that rose to, you know, to balance out Kylo Ren. She could be
a possible vessel that Palpatine could use because she's so strong in the force. She doesn't need to be related to him.
Yeah,
doesn't do anything in the story.
The name regardless and takes Skywalker at the end anyway.
Mm.
So it's like, what was the point?
Emily, like, why did you? I guess I was able to accept it more readily, in part again because I knew it was coming, but also because maybe I didn't have as much invested in the nobodiness of Rey, even though that's what I always wanted for that character. But when it was that aspect of it was abandoned, and let's be clear, it was abandoned, and it was abandoned for no reason. I don't know that it affected me in the way it affected you. Why do you think that was?
I mean, because I am, like, I think that's like an important part of her story. And I think that's an important story for Star Wars to tell. I mean, it's one of the things that I think, I don't know, it's why I didn't like in the whole like Metachlorian stuff and like I have a problem with Bloodline stories. That Bloodline is this real important thing. I think, I don't know, maybe, and this is like a weird like connection. It's not so much like the Force stuff, but it's the family thing. And like, because I have adopted siblings, like they've always just been my siblings and they're my family. And so the idea that Rey's family was who she chose her family to be. And yeah, she takes the name Skywalker in, but like, I wanted that to always be her story. I didn't want her power to come from being related to somebody else.
Right. I agree.
And I think it, I mean, part of the reason it infuriates me is because of how toxic the fandom was around her. This whole like, well, how did she do all this stuff when we never saw her training, and how is she so powerful for us? And the answer is she's powerful in the Force because she's Palpatine's daughter. And that, I mean, granddaughter, but that, like, it makes me viscerally angry.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steele.
Sorry, I just have this horrible thought that J.J. Abrams and Chris Terrio were like, okay, what are all the things that people want, and what are people's problems with the last films? And, oh, okay, Rey, why she got so much power? Oh, bang, we'll put that, like, it doesn't... Like it feels like an answer to the why she's so powerful rather than
a like, natural conclusion to something they actually.
Yeah, it just didn't seem.
It felt like a diversion from where we had already established her.
And there was no emotion to it because like she'd never met him before. There was no like struggle. It was just like weird dude.
No, she knew who Darth Vader was, but she didn't say anything about the Emperor.
Yeah.
She didn't care. It didn't mean anything to her. What meant something to her was what meant something to all of us of perhaps this generation of our generation, but was Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader. Those are the people she knew.
The funniest, people like saying that it was all hinted at was that Luke Skywalker says Darth Sidious in The Last Jedi.
Never comes up in this movie.
I don't think they say Sidious once.
Oh, no, but they were like, oh, that was like, that's setting it up. They mentioned his name.
Did the lengths that people will go to convince themselves that there was some, like, plan? Like, why can't you just be like, no, they just made that up in the movie?
No, because people... They want to think it's all kind of real and fleshed out. Like there's this neat when this thing that you're into so much is just done on the fly. It's like what? No, oh. Like it's insulting.
In the same way,
to some people. Wanted... Sorry, Robo.
I was gonna let you finish, but is it okay? Like, can I?
Oh yeah, no, I'm done, buddy.
In the same way that it was like, oh, Rey's power must come from somewhere. And it's like, oh, she must be related to somebody. There must be a precedent. There must be an explanation. There must be a plan. And I think that the specialness of people and the real message of the story has, or at least once was, maybe no longer is this message, but it once was that the real power, the real specialness is from your normalness. It's from who you are. It's from, it can just appear anywhere. And I think that's also part of the reason why for some people it hurts so much to hear Kylo Ren tell Rey that you're nobody, you're nothing, you're from nowhere, you have no part in this story, is because it's extra hurtful if you're in a position where you've heard that before in other contexts, where I don't know that I'm really that kind of person. I don't know whether I've really experienced that kind of, I mean, maybe I have, maybe I haven't, and maybe I have in some ways that don't matter in the same way. But when you take that away from Rey, it's weird because it's in the same, in some sense, you're also taking away some of the specialness of her.
Oh, Robo left.
Uh-oh.
And now Hawes is back without sound.
I said somebody took away the specialness of Robo.
Yeah, let's see if, see if we can get this guy back to wrap up. Where is that dude?
I wonder how long he's going to keep talking before he realizes.
His laptop ran out of batteries. He just messaged us.
Ah, is he plugging it back in or?
I'll try to message him before my phone runs out of batteries. He said a merciful end to my stupidity.
All right. Well, we've lost Robbo. I guess that is. Oh. All right. Well, we lost Robbo during that poignant final thoughts, but I think it's time to wrap it up, to say, let's go, except for Emily, see it again and see how it goes. I feel like I'll like it in parts. Like I like parts of it, but that's a huge tarnish. But Hawes, let the good people of the internet know where they can find you.
You can find me at Blue Harvest Pod on Twitter every Saturday on Blue Harvest with my buddy Will and Rogue One, one with a W.
Emily?
I do a podcast called The Cantabite Dispatch with my friend Brittany. I promise I'm not always so negative, but probably with our next episode, I will be, because that's going to be our episode 9 episode.
Did Brittany love it?
We haven't talked about it yet.
Oh, okay.
At all.
Literally, I had one, we exchanged like 2 texts, and like she's like, her, what I got from her was, it was a lot.
Okay.
But that could be interpreted in many, many ways.
Saving it for the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can follow Robbo at GC9X on Twitter. And he also appears on the Steel Wars Patreon feed. And Hardcore Gaming 101, Rashad.
Hi, I'm on Twitter at iCossum. You can find my podcast, Will Communication, which I do with my best bud, Justin Rodriguez, at WillComPod. I also do, in addition to stuff like this with you, I do Sadu on the Patreon, which is always good for some laughs, and Seismic Charges on Bad Motivators. And despite maybe the criticisms I had tonight, I'd also like to reiterate that I did enjoy this movie quite a bit. It was fun. It's not perfect, and there's a lot of things that disappoint me, but I did enjoy it a lot.
Okay. You can follow me at Steel Wars all over the different devices. And, you can like it, you don't like it. Try not to, I don't know, just remember the fun you had, if you didn't, in, like, as being a Star Wars fan. And if you loved it, then it's all good. I assure everyone that the new episode of The Mandalorian is
Okay. No more. Say no more. I haven't seen it.
It's really good.
Okay. But did you think I was going to then go on to say more?
I just want to be careful.
Okay. It's... I don't know what retirement home I got this old lady from, but
is this like a joke about the sweater?
No, it's the vibe, not the sweater. Trust me.
This is a lifestyle.
Say no more.
He was inserting your personality, not your fashion sense.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a friend. Dylan, Rashad hanging out. Golden Girls.
Oh, 2. My God. Rashad is so, like, he makes me feel so relaxed in comparison. We went to this cinema that was so low key for Star Wars hype, and he's texting me just like, let me know if it's a madhouse. And it's like,
this was a media screening. I didn't know if it was going to be like, because I was told, like, I've come to these before. They're low demand, but like, I've showed up like 5 minutes before. And I was like, there's no way I'm only showing up 5 minutes before.
It was a madhouse, guys. It was a madhouse. Busy. There was six people checking in, a line of two people. It was crazy.
You would have done the same thing. You get anxious about other things. It's okay.
It's okay.
Are we turning into a couples therapy podcast?
Pretty much.
I'm going to have to hold the ejector seat on that one.
But enjoy your Star Wars, enjoy your Star Wars fandom, and may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.